just good stuff. That's just good stuff on a Thursday. August 14th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. Fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts with Van Halen. All right. We got some stuff coming out of D.C. today. I intend to really do a caller-based show because I was reflecting on yesterday's show where we had calls for, I think, a segment or two. And the callers are so good at kind of finding different angles and different perspectives, but then really, like, prodding my brain for different thoughts and different perspectives. So we got about 20 video clips. We got some stacks of news, not too heavy of a news desk. We'll give you an update on the situation with the federalization of D.C. and then some other things dealing with deportations, illegal immigrants. Of course, we got a stack of geopolitical news. And so we'll look at all of this. We'll give you the news of the day, but I really want to take a bunch of calls. And, you know, as I'm looking at some of the recent developments, and I think we're kind of starting to get a little bit of a picture now of what the midterms are going to look like. The image is still hazy, but it's starting to come into view. So now you can kind of measure political action with that as the backdrop and understand, okay, what's going to be effective and what's not going to be effective. Now I look at the stuff that Trump can do that'll be good or bad for the midterms. And then you look at stuff that Trump supporters can do that could be good or bad for the midterms. And really the Democrats have no choice but to respond to all of that. So like one example is with the federalization of DC, it's mostly a Democrat city. And really, you see nothing but a positive response from the residents. And so, you know, I can talk about my concerns over the police state. I can talk about my issues with what's going on or how it's handled and Skynet being built. But at the end of the day, I think that it's like 99.9% this is going to work as far as lowering crime rates, lowering homicide rates. That is going to work. The next issue becomes how do you fix the justice system and how do you stop these leftist progressive attorneys and judges from letting criminals back out on the streets? So that's kind of another issue that you have to do. But no doubt this is going to work to lower crime. And if you are a naysayer, you have your concerns, you look at the D.C. residents and they're applauding it and they're celebrating it and they're saying, wow, we've had 2 days of peace. Haven't had anything like this in years. So really, on an issue like that, you're saying, okay, this could go bad, this could go good. The Democrats are forced to respond to it. And of course, you know, he's an authoritarian, he's a tyrant, all of this stuff. But no, the residents like it, and now it's like the Democrats are defending, yet again, murder, death, destruction. So they've kind of walked themselves into that trap. Now you see people in Chicago, and you see people in New York, and you see people in St. Louis, and they're all saying, hey, Trump, this is where you need to be. So, again, I don't like the idea, but there has to be something. Trump's trying it in D.C. And if we are going to have a military to protect the homeland, it's not them all over the planet. It's them actually, sadly, but necessarily, in our city streets. So it's like, it's not how I want to live, but you let crime run rampant like this, you're going to have a serious response. So we're having it, and the residents are liking it. They are.
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's genes on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com to make good jeans great again.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition murdered out InfoWars shirt at thealexshowstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers lip tarts. And then there's this limited edition. I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for your support.
So as the picture of the 2026 midterms starts to come into view here, still hazy, still pixelated, if you will, but starting to get an idea, I do still think the whole New York City mayor's race is kind of a good measuring stick for what we're going to be dealing with. And you can say, well, that's New York City. That's a big city. Well, that's a, you know, Democrat stronghold. Yeah, but the whole nation reacts to it. The whole nation follows it, covers it, does commentary on it. So it does kind of give you a lens into where we can go in 2026. And so with that, again, I start to see some things that are going to work, some things that are not going to work. So you look at an issue like Trump federalizing DC and you say, this could go good. This could go bad. All right. We can talk about the issue of a police state. We can talk about the issue of this administration building essentially what will be Skynet. But then you look at the response and you just look at it from a political standpoint and you say, well, actually, this looks like something that would be positive. And now the Democrats have turned it into a midterm issue. And they're trying to paint Trump again as an authoritarian and a tyrant over this, which people see that and they say, no, he's going to bring down the crime rates. He's going to lower the homicide rates. He's going to stop the carjackings. That's what's going on. And so now it looks like the Democrats are owning that. So the Democrats, you know, this is what they do. It amazingly somehow works for them, but they own abortion. They love that. They own baby killing. They own illegal immigration. They own that issue. No problem with it. And now they're going to be owning crime. And it's going to be ironic because they've been doing this for years and now they're doing it again and they're saying, oh, well, the crime happens in red states. Crime is a red state issue. Crime is the result of Republican policies. Now, most people are not even going to respond to that. Honest people will know that's a BS lie. Democrats will just go along with the lie. But then the residents that are indifferent or ignorant to the whole process, they're just going to sit here and say, thank God somebody's making the streets safer. And it's proven to be true in D.C. It is already proven to be true. And that is a Democrat stronghold. So if you're measuring it from a political standpoint, oh, that's a green light. That's not something that's going to hurt the Republicans in the midterms. That's something that could help them. And then the Democrats come out and they're defenders. Of course, they already are the party of defunding the police and targeting the police and making the police out to be the bad guy, which is always kind of a youth vote thing anyway. And that's kind of a separate issue with the youth vote. But I'm looking at it. I'm actually shocked. I'm looking at the, I mean, it's hundreds of videos all going viral, mostly black Americans, probably Democrat voters. I mean, if the odds are they're Democrat voters and they're praising Trump and they're saying, thank God somebody's finally done it. It's outrageous what happens on these streets. There's been a little pushback. There's been a couple hot contested moments, but overall, it's gone pretty smooth. I've seen three incidents where things got a little out of hand, but they didn't go way out of hand to the point where everybody sees a viral video of it. There were a couple got a little tense, a little pushing and shoving, but nothing got way over the top. All right, so politically you measure it, green light. But now you got to wait. Originally they said 30 days. The House Republicans are trying to extend that. Now, I think that that's probably for either maybe they've figured out that it's a green light politically, or they just want it for their own safety. Either way, the House Republicans are pushing for more. You know, I don't think Bowser, the mayor of D.C., I don't think Muriel Bowser is going to have a choice. And now that she sees it's popular amongst her constituents, she's probably going to be all in. And she's already wanted this anyway. The only time Muriel Bowser has ever rejected the National Guard was when Trump requested it in 2020. So she was good for the National Guard for Biden's inauguration. And actually, she wanted the National Guard in D.C. to help with crime when homicide rates were skyrocketing in 2021. And Biden rejected her. So she might be sitting there saying, well, do I want to be in a press conference next to Trump? Do I want to celebrate something Trump has done and say it's a success? It's like, But then she sees the residents like it, her voters like it, so she's probably going to go all in. So this is going to be 30 days. They're going to come out. Homicide rates will drop down to, like, almost nothing. I mean, it might even be zero. It'll be a huge success for stopping crime. There'll be a fair, robust debate, I think, over the police state angle of it and the Skynet that's being built, which is seems a separate issue, but it's the same issue. And then what happens when the residents in Chicago that are Democrats request this? And St. Louis and Baltimore and Memphis. Like, you may recall, I believe it was 21 or 23. I can't remember. I think it was 2023. It was an odd year. I think it was 2023 in Memphis. This guy does essentially a drive-by shooting, kills three people. And you watch these videos and it sounds like you're in a damn war zone. I mean, automatic weapons firing back and forth. Well, he just got sentenced. He just got sentenced this week. And it's just like that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to stop here. That's the kind of stuff that we're trying to stop. And it is out of hand, and it's sad it's so bad, and it's sad that we have to have this militarization of our streets because of it. But extreme problems, unfortunately, require extreme responses. And so, what does a Democrat mayor of Chicago do? What does a Democrat mayor of St. Louis do? What does a Democrat mayor of Baltimore do? I think the Democrat mayor of D.C. is already going to have to get on board. So then what are they going to do when they see the crime rates in D.C. go down to nothing? And all of these other mayors have propped themselves up against Trump. Oh, and you know, this is actually good. This will segue nicely into the New York City's mayor and New York City's mayor race. Oh, well, don't be surprised if Eric Adams decides to make a political play here. Don't be surprised if Eric Adams, seeking re-election, way down in the polls, if Eric Adams decides he wants to score some political points or take a shot, he might call in for the National Guard in New York City. Now, that's really quite different than Washington, D.C., pulling that off. But they could work with the police and kind of figure out where they need to go so that they're stationed in more of the crime-ridden areas, let's say, than militarizing Times Square, where you already have plenty of cops there. And even you have a police substation there. Oh. So that'll be an interesting thing if you see Democrat mayors start requesting that simply because their constituents are demanding it after they see the success in D.C. So, okay. I'd say that's looking like a political positive right now for the Republicans. And now if you can get the success lowering the crime rates, well, now you've got a total win. Now we're still going to be critical about police state authoritarianism and the Skynet situation, but you isolate what's going on in D.C. and you say, okay, that's a success. Now in the New York City mayor's race, Here's where the Republicans will lose. Here's where the Republicans, if they try to do this, will lose. And this is why Mamdani is winning and they just can't figure it out. And I've already said, cause I've got Caroline Leavitt, you know, they have to push back against the old MAGA now, which is very critical of this administration. They have no choice but to push back on the old MAGA because it's overwhelming voices and their points are very striking and they can't be ignored. So Leavitt comes out and says yesterday, ignore the panickins and trust in Trump. Wages are rising and inflation is low. President Trump's America First economic agenda is working. I'm telling the Republicans right now, I'm going to repeat this. You're going to hear this a lot, but it has to be done. These are the two things Republicans cannot say. If you keep saying this stuff, you're going to lose the youth vote. They will not show up to vote if you keep saying these two things. Stop saying the economy is great and stop saying Israel is our greatest ally. Stop it. Stop it. Not only is it wrong, not only is it viewed as a lie, that it is a direct insult to the youth. Try convincing these young kids that the economy is good. Go ahead. They're not going to buy it. Try convincing them that Israel is our greatest ally. Go ahead. They're not going to buy it. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to remember how you lied to them, and they're either not going to vote, or they're going to go out and vote for a Democrat just out of spite. So it'll be a spite vote. But I get it. Hey, we got to wave the victory flag. We got to be positive. We got to be positins, not panickins. It's all garbage. We're dealing in reality here. Stop telling people the economy is good. Stop telling people Israel is our greatest ally. Those two talking points that you can't shut up about will destroy your chances in the midterms and in 2028. Just stop it. Even if you believe it to be true, just stop it. Just stop it. Now, I use this example of something that will backfire. And just to be clear, I like Scott Lobato. I think he's a great artist. I think he's a great American patriot. And he's done a lot of great political action that has been positive. Now, he's a New York City resident, so, you know, he gets say in the New York City's mayor's race where I don't live there, so I'm just doing commentary. So I'll accept that role, but then I'll say going after Mamdani like this is not going to help. This is not the path to victory. And it's like, I understand you have so many more people now that are politically active. You have so many more people that are politically active, politically informed, and have kind of even gotten a public profile. And I'm not just talking about the people that have literally built a brand or a personality after Trump or MAGA. I'm just talking about other people that have kind of built up a following just based off political action against the left in the last 4 years. So I get that people think that if this thing works now, it'll work in the future, but we're in a different political atmosphere now. Things have changed in case you haven't noticed. Hyper speed. So a lot of the stuff that you used to do, even say 2 years ago, now it either doesn't work or it falls flat. So it's like you can do news reports and stuff about some of the transgender issues and some of the other things that go on, but that's like punching down now because the Democrats aren't in power. So it's like you can still do it. There's still a value there. And, you know, update people on what's going on and cover local news. But that's not really punching for a political victory like it was 2 years ago. So here's Scott Lobato. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Mamdani has some event in New York City, and so he decides to show up. And in classic Scott fashion, as he's done many times, he creates a scene, gets a viral video, and sends a political message at the same time. So here's that in clip 14. Try to communicate this message as efficiently and clearly as possible. And again, let me say, I respect the fact that that is Scott's neighborhood. He lives in New York City. He's going to vote. He has way more stake in this than I do, okay? So he can do whatever he wants, and that's fine. And he's known for political action like that in New York City. So I respect him. And he's going to do what he wants to do. That's his city. Now, having said that, I'm saying this is not the same effective strategy that it was 2 years ago. And I would even say now that it's a negative effect, is what I would say. Now, if he wanted to do other forms of protests against the corrupt New York City Democrats that are actually in power, like when he threw the pizza at the Capitol, that stuff still works. Going after Mom Donnie like this when he's not in power is basically just paving the way for his victory at this point. And it sounds counterintuitive, but look at what has happened to Mom Donnie in the last couple of months as the hate for him and the political protest against him have increased. He's only gotten more popular. Now he has a massive squad when he goes around. 6 months ago, while he was in the race, he didn't have big teams walking around with him. He didn't have a massive squad walking around with him. Now he does. That makes him look more legit. Optically, that makes him look like he's already the mayor. And then you going after him like this does the exact same optical illusion that he's already the mayor, that he's already won. But this is why I get back to the issue of stop saying the economy's good, stop saying Israel is our greatest ally. Because that's basically the two things he's saying there. You're a communist, you're a Jew hater. Again, there's a reason why young Americans are open to the idea of communism. I'm not promoting it. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just telling you there's a reason why younger Americans lean that way. There's a reason why younger Americans are open-minded to it. It's because they have been left out, they feel. They've been disenfranchised. They feel financially hopeless. So stop telling them that the economy is good. Be honest about it and say, here's how we're going to fix it. Because what do they hear? They hear from Republicans, the Republicans, oh, the economy is great, greatest economy ever. And they're sitting there, 100 grand in debt. They don't even know what they're going to do. And then here comes a Democrat saying, oh, the economy's really tough. It's hard on you out there. We're going to try to help you. Well, of course, where do you think they're going to lean? And then the second one, you're a Jew hater. You watch. You watch. The majority of New York Jews will vote for Mom Donnie. Watch. Watch. Just like they voted majority Democrat in the last presidential election. You watch. That is a pretty solid bet right there. In fact, you're probably going to have to pay juice at such good odds. But what do you sound like now? Everyone I disagree with is a racist. Does that sound familiar? Everyone I disagree with is an anti-Semite. Do you see what you're becoming? Do you see where you're trending here? Now, this is going to be the political referendum for 2026. The picture is starting to clear, and we're starting to understand the landscape for the midterms. And it will be important. It will be important, and we all know why. Because if the Democrats get the House, there's no telling what they might do. Other than what we already know, which is impeach Trump. And since they'll be in control of the purse, they can effectively block much of Trump's agenda. Now, you kind of go back to the reconciliation bill and some of the stuff they did with that. And in their eyes, some of this massive spending, some of this massive funding that they guaranteed in that bill is to kind of jump over if the Democrats win the House in the midterms. And they think, oh, we can pause the purse here, but really they've kind of already funded a lot of this stuff with the reconciliation bill. So that'll be kind of a fight should the Democrats take it. But that's another story. So if this is how the Republicans are going to charge into this, and they really think that the Trump momentum and the MAGA momentum from the election victory, which is really gone, I mean, it's gone. But if they really think this is going to charge us to victory in 2026, you got another thing coming. And I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Democrats take control of the House. I don't. I'm not an accelerationist. I'm not a we must lose to winist. We've already done that. Now I'm a pedal to the metal. Let's actually make America great again. Let's actually put America first. Let's actually get the results done now because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. So no, I don't want to see the Democrats take the House, but I see that what the Republicans are doing right now and a lot of what the Trump administration is doing right now is paving the way for the Democrats to do just that. So just even if you're out there as a Republican and you disagree with the angle, I'm telling you right now, these two messages will cost the Republicans the youth vote. And who knows, maybe for 2, 3, 4 election cycles? I don't know. Stop telling us the economy is good and stop telling us Israel is our greatest ally. Just stop it. Even if you believe it, it's a political cancer pill. It's a political cancer pill because for people under the age of 30, they aren't buying it one bit. For people under 40, they're not really buying it. For people 40 to 50, you're maybe split. The only place where you're comfortable saying that is people that are over 50, maybe 60 years old. That's it. The only place you can go politically that are buying the economy's doing great and Israel is our greatest ally are people over 50. Maybe even 60 or above. So you see what's going on here. So just stop saying it. And if you're going to do political stunts, hey, that's fine. I do political stunts. I'm not going to tell you not to do political stunts. That's your free speech. But now you're going around, everyone I disagree with is an anti-Semite. Now you're going around calling everybody a communist. People vote for communists, in case you haven't noticed. So, you know, you still have to win elections. You still have to win hearts and minds. You still have to play the numbers game politically.
I'm coming to defeat you, evil scum. I'll defeat you, globalists. I've been waiting a long time for this, Alex.
We're fighting the globalists at point blank range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh God, he really did need help. Oh yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. We're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month, see it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store, sales on top of everything, special deals, special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I almost sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theauctionstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
So how long is it going to be until other cities are calling for and maybe even get, not necessarily a federalization of the city like in D.C., but maybe National Guard, maybe some federal help with law enforcement. This happened in Chicago. And this is unfortunately nothing new. But this video was just seen, and with the backdrop of what's going on in D.C., it got a lot more attention. This is a man who's doing a live stream from his car, and he gets jacked and shot in the middle of his live stream, broad daylight, for his chain. Watch this.
Space. We will move our car, whatever car we need, so they can get the space, just let us get the park. So now you, oh, no, we can't do that. No, 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 you just got to find somewhere else to park. I'm like, who the fuck is you talking to? You feel me? Like, who the fuck is you talking to for real, even talking like that? Like, that be the shit, and that's what make a motherfucker be wanting to get into it with y'all, because y'all ain't got no respect. What's up, bro? What's up? Hell no.
Kevin Watson was the name of the man, and he died. He died. And you can even hear, he says, hey, just take the chain, and he gets shot anyway. So he's sitting in his car, just doing a live stream. Guy sees his chain and says, this is my opportunity. I'm going to jack him. And in the heat of the moment, pulls the trigger, kills him. So how long is it going to be now? How long is it going to be before you see a similar demand in Chicago, in St. Louis, in Baltimore, in these cities that are rampant with crime? And you know, I see both sides here. Like there was a video from DC where he's in front of the White House speaking to media, and he's against the what Trump has done, federalizing the police. But then he's basically forced to admit how it's going to work and how homicide rates are bad. And he makes the point in this video, which I do respect it as a general point, but you're missing something here. And he says to the reporter, do you feel scared right now? You can walk around DC right now. Go get a coffee over there. Go get a sandwich over there. Go get a smoothie. Go walk around. Do you feel scared? Do you think anything's going to happen to you? And of course, the odds are no. The odds are no. But you understand, one bad situation ruins it for everybody. One bad situation. One innocent person gets shot. One innocent person gets their car stolen. One innocent person gets robbed at gunpoint. So this isn't a, oh, it didn't happen to you today, so it's fine situation. This isn't a, oh, 99% of the time you go out in D.C., things are going to be fine. Well, do you want to be the 1% that it's not fine for? Do you want to be that 1% that takes a bullet? No. So I understand kind of the surface level logic of, hey, you can still go out in D.C., things are fine, let's not over-exaggerate. But on the other side of that, you say, well, let's not under-appreciate the fact that dozens of people get shot and killed in D.C., because you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be related to that person. You don't want to know that person. So sure, everything's great until it's not. But you see something like that, and it's just like, man. I mean, and Chicago's obviously one of the worst examples. But oh yeah, there's videos. At night, guys just sitting on their front porch or at the park, they're like, hey, Trump, you got to come here next, man. You got to come here. So now it's going to become a trend. And once these 30 days are up, whatever the exact date would be, and they release the crime report, I mean that's going to be a huge story, folks. Say if D.C. has one homicide a month or two homicides a month, and they get that down to zero, let's not pretend that's not significant. Getting homicides down to zero? Zero? Isn't that what we want? Carjackings down? I mean, they'll get carjackings down. There's probably a dozen carjackings a month. They'll get it down to maybe one. The numbers are going to be undeniable. The methods, have a debate over. The results, won't be able to deny. And oh yeah, you'll start seeing the cries from Chicago. You'll start seeing the cries from Baltimore, St. Louis, other places. Oh yeah, you will. Oh yeah, you will. But see, that's what it is. The media doesn't go talk to these people. That's why I kind of play this game, which is it's a little disgusting for us to do it, but how many shootings do you think there were in Chicago last weekend? I mean, it's Thursday, but we can still play this game. I'd say last weekend in Chicago, let's go 3 dead, 12 shot. I'm probably the king odds maker on this that's not actually in law enforcement. Yeah, I'd say 3 killed, 12 shot. And they're going to see what happens in D.C. But you don't think that there's people in Chicago that are sick of that? You don't think all the victims that are dead don't have family and friends that are sick of it? Yeah, of course you're not hearing from them. The media's not going to go talking to them. These Democrat cities. At least 7 of dozen shot in city over weekend were teens in Chicago. Teens, teenagers, young kids. 5 dead, 32 shot in Chicago. I mean, what do you think it was in Baltimore? What do you think it was in St. Louis? I guarantee you it's not zero. What do you think it was in Memphis? I guarantee you it wasn't zero. In fact, did you hear what just happened in Louisville? You want to talk about heartbreaking? Story's on my desk somewhere. First day of school in Louisville. Mom is walking the kid to the bus and gets shot in a drive-by shooting, killed. Shooter still on the loose. This is insane. Suspect still at large after woman shot to death walking child at Louisville bus stop. I mean, are you kidding me? So there's a lot of different ways to approach this, and maybe you just do it all, quite frankly. Not violating the Second Amendment. But I mean, yeah, you commit a violent crime, you commit a gun crime, long jail sentence. Long. You kill somebody, life, no parole, maybe death penalty. I mean, the justice system angle of this has to be brought up. Shooter still on the loose, by the way. Before we move on, did you see this one, though? DC man charged with felony assault after hitting federal agent with Subway sandwich. It also turns out this individual apparently worked in the Department of Justice. What? And Pam Bondi comes out, and her reputation is so soiled now, she really can't even say anything without getting pushback. But she's like, this is the deep state we've been talking about. And she's kind of right. It's like, yeah, these are the leftist lunatics that work in D.C. These are the leftist lunatics, these leftist ideologues, these Democrat activists that work in D.C. By the way, they did eventually catch this guy. You got to be the dumbest person. You got to be the retard of the year here, right? To throw a sandwich at a federal agent? How dumb are you? You should get charged extra just for being so stupid. There should be another. This is an assault on humanity for how dumb you are. Wow. That's your liberal right there. That's your leftist. The guy wasn't even bothering him, just standing on the corner doing his job, and you're gonna launch a sandwich into his chest? You're an idiot. That's criminal to be that dumb. We gotta lock you up just for being stupid. Life sentence. But yeah, these are the people that work in D.C. These are the people that work in the federal government. Democrat activists, so insane that they'll stand there and badmouth a federal agent. And then when the federal agent doesn't respond, they resort to throwing a sandwich at them. And think about the poor innocent sandwich, you know? All the sandwich wanted to do was just get eaten in peace. Instead, it ends up getting used as a weapon and then abandoned on the streets. Sandwich abandonment. Doesn't this jerk know people are starving? All right. Now, I do want to move on from that. We do have some other news coming out of D.C. Folks, a reminder, though. We do have a new product right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And that would be the Bovine Colostrum Plus Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix. Fuel your cells. Feed your gut. Supports immune health. Promotes gut integrity. Aids muscle recovery, enhances cell protection, and boosts nutrient uptake. So I have been one to always have some form of a colostrum supplement, colostrum powder in my supplement pantry. I've tried a bunch of different ones over the years and just kind of switching back and forth, just trying different ones. Now I can tell what's high quality, what's not. And then you can also tell by the texture, by the smell, by the taste. And then some will put some other additives in there too. But this is no doubt for me, when I think about colostrum supplementing, 100% muscle recovery. So there's all kinds of different benefits that come with colostrum. You can look them up for yourselves. The gut health, the immune system, just so much. But for me, I always think about the muscle growth, the muscle recovery. I always put it in my post-workout protein shake every time without fail, and highly recommend it for that. From my experience, once I started doing that, there was no going back. Bovine Colostrum Plus, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe for auto ship, you'll get a 50% discount, and we make sure we hold it back in stock for you. A lot of times our products, our supplements, very popular. They sell out. But when you have subscribed to it, we always hold it back for you. Plus, you get the discount. Plus, you support us. Total 360 win. And you get your entries into our raffles and giveaways. Like right now, when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com, you will get multiple entries to win the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. That's right. All you got to do is shop at thealexjonesstore.com to win. If you want to increase your chances, go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP and become a VIP member to increase your chances to win. So last night, you saw some of the old voice boxes of the Democrat Party building up this big bombshell today. This is from Brian Krasenstein, and last night I said nothing would happen on my ex account when I saw this, because that's how confident I was it was nothing. Gavin Newsom is about to bomb the GOP tomorrow afternoon. A Gavin Newsom bomb is about to hit the GOP tomorrow afternoon. Well, it's tomorrow afternoon. You guys heard about any bomb? Has any bomb hit the GOP? Ooh. No. He has nothing. What they're trying to do, folks, this is hilarious. The Democrats are so caught on this situation that they can't get out of it. It's kind of like the Russian collusion. It's like everything they do ends up blowing back up on them. There is no Jerry left to Mander. You can't get blood out of a stone. So the Democrats are sitting here saying, we're going to gerrymander back. We're going to redistrict back. The only place where they were threatening to redistrict that might have flipped a couple seats was Wisconsin. And that's why that Supreme Court race was so important. But other than that, you don't think the Democrats have already gerrymandered California into oblivion? And they don't even have to. They steal elections. You can win an election in California and 2 months later, they're going to say, nope, the Democrat won. We just saw that. Donald Trump and Greg Abbott are going to have a very bad day today. Bro, they don't even know what you're doing. They have no idea what you're up to. It doesn't affect them at all. So they try to do this game now. Oh, but they've done it before. Oh, the walls are closing in. We got Trump now. Ooh, big bomb for Trump. Big bomb against the GOP. And it's a nothing burger. And they're just threatening to redistrict. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. What are you going to do? I mean, that would be some serious gerrymandering. Maybe they'll try. Maybe the Democrats will try to just have every seat in California be blue. But I don't even know if they could pull that off. That would be quite an amazing political data mapping to make every district blue. But I guess that's what they're going to try to do here. That's what they're threatening. No, the funny thing is they're basically admitting that this is what they've been doing all these years. Like, this is – Beto O'Rourke is back on the scene. What is that? What's this guy's plan? Is he – how is – when did O'Rourke get back into politics? Well, he's back now. He's doing the media tour. He's going on all the left-wing shows. But don't you know? O'Rourke says, we're in full panic. Yes. Full panic. Trump is in full panic. Abbott is in full panic, says Beto O'Rourke in clip 6.
They are, you know, Trump, Paxton, Abbott, the Republicans, in full panic mode right now. These are signs of desperation.
Yep. Love it.
The reason they're doing all this is they fully understand, should they not be able to succeed in this deal, should they not be able to hold on to power in the House, there will be a reckoning for them. There will be accountability. There will be a check on their lawlessness, and there will be free and fair elections, or as close as we can get to it in America in the 21st century in 2028. And so, you know, what's been chilling for me, Gavin, is the near or full impunity with which they've been acting, I mean, accepting these bribes the president has, making these corrupt deals. It's as though he knows or thinks he knows that there will never be a moment where he's accountable or has to answer for his crimes or his corruption. He's absolutely betting on that. And so that explains him saying, look, folks, I need 5 seats in Texas. Go get them for me. No pretense that the current seats are unconstitutional or unrepresentative. He's just being really clear, which is a gift to all of us, that this is about power. And to your point, our side better get fucking serious about power.
Oh, he's cursing.
About winning it and using it. Mandela Barnes, whom I just did a town hall with in Milwaukee last week, said, when we win power, we have to drive the car like we stole it. We have to do everything for everyone that we've been promising these massive changes in American society, whether it is the minimum wage, whether it's rewriting our immigration laws, whether it is dealing with this democracy so that you can't spend $300 million on your preferred presidential candidate, or that corporations aren't people and money is not speech. So much work to do, but we got to be about winning that power. And then when we have it, absolutely wielding it ruthlessly, aggressively, ambitiously to serve and deliver for the American people. We do that. That is the best ticket to growing that power, staying in power, and getting this country back on the right track.
So I actually am so glad that he said that in the last 40 seconds. I'm being dead serious. I actually appreciate O'Rourke's honesty there. He's saying the quiet part out loud. This is how most Democrats think and feel, folks. They want to wield power ruthlessly. They want to drive the car like they stole it, because they did. They want to redistrict to stay in power. So I actually appreciate O'Rourke's honesty at the end of it. And you know, it is difficult, because you know this is how it's going to go. They're going to claim the Republicans are gerrymandering when really they're just correcting the Democrat gerrymandering. And then they're going to create this gerrymandering war. And they're going to say, well, we're going to gerrymander now. I guarantee to you, the next Democrat president will probably expand the Supreme Court. And they'll appoint 2 Democrats. And then the Republican will get in and expand it again, appoint 2 conservatives. And it's just like, so you got to pump the brakes on this stuff. But I appreciate O'Rourke's honesty here. See, the Texas Republicans are just, honestly, it's really a sad state of affairs. It really is a sad state of affairs. And it's actually ironic, because I'll get this a lot, because I get invited to speak at GOP events outside of Texas. And they'll be like, wow. And even in blue states, they'll be like, man, like, why don't the Texas Republicans invite you to speak? Like, hey, you know, why doesn't the Texas GOP and Travis County GOP, why don't you speak at those events? Why don't they have you involved? I'm like, oh, well, I tried to get involved and they had me physically removed from the premises. So that's the treatment I get in Texas. But I get requests to speak at GOP events in multiple states, and they're just stunned. They're like, well, why wouldn't they let you speak in Texas? I don't know. You'd have to ask the Texas Republicans that. That's a great question. Most of them are Democrats anyway. We're starting to figure this out. Couldn't be more obvious. But it's like, okay, if you're going to do this deal with the redistricting, you can't just let the Democrats sit here and propaganda you. You got to come out and say, hey, hold on. Here's why we're redistricting, and have a good public speaker, a good presenter, have it all laid out. You can probably do it in 5-10 minutes max. And you have it all laid out. You present it to the Texas voters. You present it to the American people. And you say, hey, Abbott could do this. anybody in the Texas House could do this. I mean, the only one in there that seems to be fighting for anything is Brian Harrison. And you just do a short 5-minute, 10-minute presentation. You say, hey, there's been a lot of people talking about gerrymandering and us redistricting, but let me tell you what we're really doing. You have to go back against this propaganda or the Democrats are going to abuse it. I mean, just Texas 35, the district that we're in here, it's a joke. It's a joke. Why are Austin and then South San Antonio in the same district? It's ludicrous. Doesn't make any sense. So you just stand up there and you just say, hey, look, here's the map. We think that this is kind of ridiculous here, so we're just redistricting it. Nobody's gerrymandering. The truth is the Democrats gerrymandered. And you can see, and you can point to the five districts, say, here's the five districts that they gerrymandered. They were all five Republican, and then they gerrymandered in the name of equality, racial equality. They gerrymandered, and then they flipped them all blue. So we're getting rid of the whole racial equality bullcrap that they used to gerrymander, and we're just fixing it, and we're going back to the original map. And just explain that to the American people. Because then they'll look at their own districts. Then they'll look at their own states, and they'll say, this is what the Democrats have been up to, is it? That's right. All right, here's more from Gavin Newsom as we finish the first hour. Let's see clip 8. Oh, actually, you know what? I went long here. Do we have a problem with the deal, guys? Is that what's going on? We'll hold off on that. I'm out of time for this hour. We're going to come back. Second hour coming up. I'm going to give out the phone number. We're going to go to some of these other video clips. The Trump administration making a couple announcements today, too. So we'll come back with just some raw political announcements in the short segment, and then we'll come back and give out the phone number after we get into the second hour. So all of this coming up. No, it's the Democrats that gerrymander. Every American needs to know it. And as far as that Gavin Newsom bomb today, well, it seemed to be a bit of a dud. Nothing has happened, and nobody noticed, and nobody cared. Which is actually good news, that the Democrats still have virtually zero impact politically. So that's actually a good thing.
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at theauctionstore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? Well, you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum. And it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle Recovery Aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and Energy Balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin Defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals, enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
The American way of life is under attack. This is the War Room.
All right, I tell you what, I'm going to hold off on the D.C. announcements. I want to kind of close out on the federalization of D.C. story here instead. And I'm telling you, there's dozens, maybe even hundreds of videos like this of people in D.C. celebrating the federalization or the increased police state and saying it hasn't been like this in so long. We actually really appreciate it. So here's one example in clip 11.
Man, down the city is quiet as a church motion. I came all the way down Pennsylvania Avenue this morning. So peaceful, yeah. I don't smell no weed, yeah. I don't see no homeless people. I mean, I came all the way through the southeast side, all the way down here. You see now I'm at the White House, jump, man. It's quiet, yeah. It's a shame that it takes somebody to have to sit in your classroom in order for you to be in order, yeah. Cause that's what it feel like, yeah. You gotta be babysitter to do your job, yeah. Stuff been out of control for years. You gotta do better, yeah. You gotta do better, yeah. And mainly, young, you got the problems. It's us, man. It's always us giving everybody a bad name, yeah. We'll see how long this lasts, yeah. How many murders was it last night? How many carjackings was it last night? Talk to me. And y'all keep on posting all these data numbers and things of that nature that y'all see everybody else reposting. The stuff that came from the Metropolitan Police Department and the mayor, yeah. Let me tell you something, yeah. Let me tell you something. You can't be that stupid. You can't be, man. Who enters that information to get that data analysis, yeah? People do. You can enter whatever numbers you want to make whatever report show what, but you can't hide the crime, young. You can't do it. Let me give you something to break it down to you for those that don't understand. I retired from UPS, right? So what they used to do to play with the numbers or whatever, we have mission packages. You have drivers over the hours. They'd go in and enter the information, and the report would show whatever they needed to show to keep their bonus that week for their bosses not to fire their ass. So stop believing that stuff. And I don't know if you ever had to deal with the DC government, young, but they suck, young. They have got a lot more better now that the officers have did what they had to do and got all of these people out of the government and got rid of the riffraff and things of that nature. People actually do work now. Let me give you this for example, right? You got carrying conceals or whatever that were being issued by the DC, separate department that was handling the gun license and the things of that nature. They went from turnaround time for like 4 months, 5 months for you to have to damn get a gun registered in DC and get a carry and conceal to 2 weeks. It used to take you 3 months just to get an appointment to talk to somebody and take your information and your gun down there. Now, you go online right now and they got appointments available tomorrow. How does that happen? What changed? You put some fire under their asses and now they want to do some work.
Now, the two things I love from his video rant there is the analogy of it's like having to send in an extra teacher or something into the classroom because you're so badly behaved. It's a perfect analogy. It's like, you know, you're so bad. And it touches on the issue of arrested development or the lack of maturity happening in some of these cities where they just can't grow up and they just act like children forever, act irresponsibly forever. So he kind of touches on that. And then the other point he makes, he's like, how are you going to tell us that crime is down when we live here and know that that's a lie? Yeah. Like the weatherman says, it's cold outside. It's, you know, 30 degrees. Grab your clothes to stay warm. And then you walk outside and it's 95 degrees. It's like, well, the weatherman said it's cold, so it's cold. It's like, no, you're outside. It's obviously hot. You can't let propaganda fool you. There is a real world out there. Live in it.
InfoWars in outer space.
In the not-so-distant future, Earth's last drop of methylene blue is about to vanish, and the fate of humanity hangs in the balance. Captain Alex Jones and his alien crew blast off with turbo force in the InfoWarrior spaceship, chasing a legend, Planet X2, said to hold the purest methylene blue in the galaxy. through asteroid fields and cosmic storms. They press on until at last the glowing blue world appears. They descend through the atmosphere, finding towering blue crystals and shimmering methylene blue ponds. Filling their jars to the brim, the crew turns for home. Their mission is clear. Return to Earth and save humanity. Get your methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Second hour here of the InfoWars War Room. I want to give out the phone number. We'll intersperse calls and news the rest of the way. Put the number on the screen for me, please. That would be 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Give us a call, and we'll get you up and on the air. So while we start getting the callers lined up here, let's go to some of these other stories and video clips. Let's start with a wild announcement from Donald Trump this morning. This is crazy stuff. And this is the kind of stuff where it's just like, man, why aren't people getting arrested? Really, really annoying. So it's like, hey, great job. We stopped this crime. But then why aren't people getting arrested? Over a quarter million illegal aliens were on Social Security. Listen to this from President Trump, clip three.
Benefits, we've already kicked nearly 275,000 illegal aliens off of the Social Security system. These are people, many of them have already left the country, and yet we were sending them checks all the time. And 275,000, and that number is now even larger than that, Frank. It's an unbelievable job. And what that's doing is making the system strong. It's making it strong.
I mean, this is insane. They told us there's no illegal aliens getting government health care. They lied. They were. There's no illegal aliens getting Social Security. They lied. More than a quarter million. I mean, that is insane. That is insane. Sending Social Security checks out to non-citizens. I'm serious. I want people arrested for this. In fact, I would arrest the people that did it. I'd charge the people that did it. I'd say this is outright fraud and you know it. You committed fraud. I'd try to claw that money back. I'd say, I'll tell you what, we're gonna arrest you unless you send us the money back. I'm dead serious, man. This is ridiculous. We should have zero tolerance for this. But I guess, you know, Donald Trump just isn't really an authoritarian like that. So there you go. More than a quarter million illegal aliens were receiving Social Security. That is insane. Now, he talks about people leaving the country voluntarily. Kristi Noem puts a number on it last night on Fox White House News on clip four.
We have 1.6 illegal immigrants that have left this country voluntarily. And I think these numbers just show exactly the genius of Donald J. Trump, the brilliant mind that he has, that when he was elected in November, he knew he had to make America safe again. And he said, Kristi, if you're going to be my Homeland Security Secretary, we're going to follow the law. You're going to do commercials. You're going to tell the world that no longer will we tolerate people being in our country illegally and that they need to go home. And he messaged it strong. There were consequences. If you broke the law and you were a criminal in this country and you needed to leave. And overwhelmingly, the world got the message. They're leaving on their own, which is the best thing for American citizens. Not only did 1.6 million people leave the United States that shouldn't be here, but also 2.5 million Americans became employed in the last 6-7 months. That's incredible growth for U.S. citizens that will benefit their families and the people who love this country, who were born here, who want to be employed, and now have new opportunities for success as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got a little flush when Kristi Noem said how genius Trump was. I got a little flush because I thought she was talking about the policy of let's get self-deportations, which was something I said years ago. So I was like, oh my gosh, Kristi Noem just called me a genius. I got a little flush, you know? I was like, oh wow. I feel like that was my baby she just complimented. But then, no, actually the genius of Trump that she was referring to was making her the spokeswoman and the model for DHS. That's what she was referring to. Trump was genius for basically making her the model, the face of DHS and deportation. Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe he was. I don't know. Do you think Kristi Noem gets them going before they go out on these raids and deportation raids? Maybe. I don't know. So, you know, on those jobs numbers, though, they got problems here. And I see this getting reported by the left, and they're saying, oh, Trump is covering up the bad jobs report. Who really knows? I don't think anybody really knows. Folks, you had 275 illegal aliens getting Social Security. Do you think the government is good at numbers? Let's just stop for a second. Trump's pick to lead labor stats agency could pause monthly jobs reports over accuracy concerns. So they're admitting that the jobs reports are never accurate. Now, yes, the Trump administration wanted the numbers to be better. So people are saying, well, this is them trying to cook the books. No, the Biden administration lied about the jobs reports. They all lie about the numbers. They all cook the books. And I think at the end of the day, they don't even know. They really don't even know. So it's almost like you just get rid of it. Because all this stuff does is it creates this illusion. Just like that guy in D.C. was saying. He's like, hey, they say crime is down. They point at the numbers. It's like, hey, screw your numbers. I live here. Reality is a thing. All right? Statistics are a thing, and then reality is a thing. Okay? Choose what you want to trust. So you can tell me crime is down, but I live in D.C., and I know that is a lie. So it's the same thing with the jobs reports. Now, that's a little more, a D.C. crime report, much more local than, say, a nationwide jobs report. But the whole point is, okay, we want to use numbers to show the economy is good, or we want to use numbers to show the economy is bad, depending on who's in power. But really, it just creates this false illusion. All these statistics that they try to cook and massage for a political point, it's almost like just shut it down. Just stop it. People can tell whether things are good or bad. People know when there's jobs in town that they can get, and people know when there's not. People know when there's upward mobility financially, and people know when there's not. So no, reality is still a thing. Believe it or not. I don't know how much longer. I don't know, actually. I don't know how much longer reality will be a thing, but it still is today. So let's embrace it. Now, here's a crazy one. I believe it was Mike Davis reporting here, testifying. This is on the illegal invasion of our country, the open borders from the Biden administration. Again, I want people arrested for this. This is one of the biggest crimes committed against our country. And this is why I'm so frustrated. It's like, okay, you've got Trump and everybody talking about the Russian collusion thing again. And I just, oh my God. I just kind of roll my eyes. It's like, look, you're either going to charge and arrest people or you're not. And, okay, the focus now needs to be on the border invasion and the stolen election, in my opinion. But, you know, everybody wants to talk about, we got them on the Russian thing. It's like, okay, well, they'll arrest them or not. They got them. But this is the invasion of our country. If there's an example of treason, I don't know how this isn't treason. This is human trafficking. Period. At the very least, this is human trafficking. It's like, that's your scale here. You're either committing treason or you're just human trafficking. So here you go. Over 200 NGOs, $6 billion from the Biden administration, facilitating the largest invasion in the history of the world at our southern border in the Biden years, clip 5.
I now recognize Mr. Mike Howell for 5 minutes for his opening statement.
Mike Howell, that's the name.
Members of the subcommittee, thank you for the opportunity to testify about the role of NGOs or non-governmental organizations in facilitating mass illegal immigration. I currently serve as the executive director of the Oversight Projects and previously was at DHS and on Capitol Hill conducting oversight of immigration matters. The United States of America is still reeling from the worst border invasion in its history. This was an invasion that was planned, promoted, encouraged, funded, and sustained by radical elements of the previous administration. But this invasion could not have been accomplished without a colossal partnership with the NGO community. Simply put, the government just did not have the capacity to get this many people in and around the country without the support of the nonprofits. And to that end, they gave them almost $6 billion to a conglomerate of UN agencies and over 200 NGOs to do just that, according to statistics from the Center for Immigration Studies. The result was that Border Patrol became a daycare. They became Uber drivers just to shuttle illegals to the nonprofits to get them around the country. Now, the Oversight Project has led the way in exposing what I call this border industrial complex. In December of 2022, we did the first of its kind study where we tracked illegal aliens by their cell phones as they went through these nonprofits at the border. In just a one-month period, in tracking 30,000 devices, so a very small subset of the 10 million that Biden had crossed the border, we found out that the illegals went to nearly every single congressional district in the United States. We proved that every town was indeed a border town.
That it's just crazy. And we've already known this. You have to make an example here. That's what's, because I just look at it from the standpoint of, if you want to stop crime, you have to arrest criminals. Stealing the 2020 election was a crime. What criminals have been arrested? The invasion of our country was a crime. What human traffickers that facilitated it have been arrested? So I'm not going to shut up about it. I'm not going to be called a panican. That's called justice. And if the Biden administration can put you in prison for standing in Washington, D.C., or speaking in Washington, D.C., then most certainly the Trump administration can put you in prison for human trafficking, can put you in prison for election fraud. But I don't think they have the will. I don't think they have the desire. I hope they prove me wrong. But I'm not betting on it. To the phone lines we go, shall we? Our InfoWars audience is spread all over the world, all over the beautiful United States of America. But we start in California with Jason. Jason, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jason.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up kind of the Epstein stuff for a second. I called a couple of weeks ago, and I think you misunderstood my question about it. I don't want to talk too long about it because it's a dead horse at this point, but, you know, I kind of am in the viewpoint that, you know, you ask the FBI to raid themselves, they're not going to have the information that we're actually looking for. So them saying that it's not there, I just kind of, you know, I believe it and I don't believe it at the same time, but I really don't think the information was there since it got raided initially.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've concluded that whatever this Trump drip, this Trump Epstein file that they're drip, maybe they've exhausted it, is coming from a foreign country and is trying to get Trump to start a war has been my estimate on that. But that's kind of slowed down now.
Yeah, and then so like the D.C. stuff going on, you know, the presence is interesting. And I come from, I'm in California. I don't want to give away where I'm at exactly, but, you know, I grew up in a place where, you know, at the beginning of the year, one year, we had almost as many, we had more deaths than we had days in the year, you know, so, you know, I can kind of see how that's a good thing. I don't know if the AI thing is going to be happening out of this, but I can kind of see, like, if, you know, if there is really a 3D chess type of thing going on, that it could be, you know, get the Democrats to kind of go against it, and then they won't be able to do it either because they're already against it.
What are you talking about? Against what exactly?
The AI taking over, like Palantir.
Well, that would be ironic. I don't really see them making that play. They're all in on the AI thing. That's a done deal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think they'll go against it just because it's Trump?
Well, what are they going to do? What do you mean go against it? They can go against anything. It doesn't matter. No, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Yeah, thank you for the call. No, it's done, folks. It's done. Once they got the big, beautiful bill passed, that was it. It's a done deal. They're building Skynet. Now, I guess the only opportunity or opening you have there is that they haven't fully built it yet. They've got the funding. They've got the plan. But they don't have the processing centers yet. They don't have the energy yet. They don't have the water yet. So there's still a lot of things that they need. But the big, beautiful bill, that was it. I mean, that's what this was about. That's what the whole thing was about, building Skynet. And they got it. So we'll see when it goes into work. We'll see when it comes into practice. But it's not like they're building it not to use it. I mean, they're not building Skynet to not use it. But who knows? How long can humans even control it? How long until AI just takes it over? By the way, and I forgot to cover this, because I say the same thing. It's like they're not building the Golden Dome not to use it. It's like once the Golden Dome goes up, folks, I mean, it's guaranteed we're getting hit. Like, guaranteed they're going to start fire. Someone's going to fire missiles at us. Why else would they build it? Don't be so naive. ULA launches Vulcan rocket on first Space Force mission. This happened earlier this week. Did you hear about this? ULA's Vulcan Cantor launches first national security mission. Vulcan rocket blasts off in first Space Force sanctioned flight. Vulcan rocket launches experimental military satellite on its first ever U.S. Space Force mission. Fully operational Vulcan rocket boosting two military satellites into space in the first Space Force sanctioned flight of a new launcher that eventually will replace the company's Atlas V and already retired Deltas. So here we go. Here we go. Now, I was listening to some other commentary on this. Cause here's the thing too. I'm so embedded into the political world now where, you know, and I have people that say this to me too. It's like, you used to be a conspiracy theorist. You're really not anymore. And I don't know if that's just because all the conspiracy theories have come true or it's just a natural change of delivery or approach. But I was listening to some other news about this. This was Tuesday night it happened. I think it was Wednesday night. And yeah, you know, they've been trying to militarize space for a long time. And really, it's mostly fallen flat over the years, at least that we know of. At least that, you know, we're allowed to know about. Who knows what's really going on in space? But they've been trying to militarize space for a long time, and it's always kind of failed as being fully implemented. And all the different things over the years have kind of failed. You know, you had the space race with the Russians that resulted in the fake moon landing. And you've had some other stuff over the years. And now it's the Golden Dome. Well, why do we need a Golden Dome? Nobody's firing missiles at us. Oh, they will. And now the next one is going to be aliens. Ooh, your next big thing is going to be aliens. And so I go off into that tier of content, let's say, just raw conspiracy theory stuff. And I guess the only reason why I've kind of changed my tactics on air is because, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theory stuff, it doesn't manifest. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, just look at a lot of the Q stuff, and I'll kind of bring it back to that in a second. So it's like, I'm not going to sit here and present you something that has a low chance of being real. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come on here and present you things that I either know are real, 100% are real, or have extremely high odds of being real. So that's how we have the highest batting average. But yeah, it looks like this is all about militarizing space. It looks like you're in a new space race. It's kind of like the new AI race. It's like the new AI space race is happening right now. And they're just finding all the different excuses to put these satellites and rockets and everything else up in the sky. And it will be part of Skynet. And if they can't get it done with the Golden Dome or whatever, here comes the aliens. So you kind of see the drip, drip, drip on the alien theory. And Anna Paulina Luna yesterday. But it looks like that's kind of going to be the final push to militarize space. Is they're going to present aliens or say there's a hostile intelligent life form out there. Which, if you analyze all the data points in that, you kind of say, you know, if there was a hostile life form out there, you think we'd probably know it by now. You think that we'd probably know it by now. Or if there's a hostile intelligent life form out there, they're already here manipulating us and we just don't even know it. But it does appear that's kind of the hidden agenda here, is it's just really about the militarization of space race that's happening now. And I do say too, you know, because I'll get pushback from the Q people, and I don't mean to be mean when I call them Q-tards. It's just like a turn of phrase. It just slides off the tongue. So I'm not trying to be mean, but I see the stuff now where it's like the federalization of DC is actually something else. So it's always the same thing, the deep state getting arrested, the pedophiles getting arrested. I've heard it a dozen times. It never happens. But, you know, there is a level of curiosity there. You say, is anything really at face value? Are they really just federalizing just to deal with the streets, or is something else going on? Is Trump cleaning up the cities for another reason? Is there some sort of ritualistic thing happening in D.C. right now? There's plenty of evidence that points to the potential of that. But let's go to the next caller. Let's go to TJ in Texas. TJ, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I don't know if people out there listening actually realize how big this Social Security thing is. So booting 275,000 people off of the Social Security rolls, that's 0.5%. Actually, it's less than 0.5%. It's 0.37%. And that amounts to $5.7 billion annually off of, like, the $1.5 trillion that we spent last year. And that $5.7 billion annually is roughly $20,000 per person that got booted off the rolls from the
overall. So hold on. I'm up against a break here. You're throwing a lot of numbers out there. I understand the math you're doing. What is just the bottom line number for 275 illegal aliens receiving Social Security? Yearly, monthly? Do you just have a number on that?
Well, I can say it's bull pucky. Two, illegal aliens can't get Social Security. Three, Trump is just full of crap.
Okay. Whoa. All right. So that's a 180 now. I'm up against a break. I'll give you a chance to explain yourself a little more clearly here. Okay, you say there weren't any illegal aliens on healthcare. Look, I understand people's trust level with Trump is way low, but that one seems pretty undeniable.
Right now, for only 7 days, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. About to break it all down right now. For 1 week only. We have launched the biggest sale ever on collectible bullion, silver coins, and our amazing collectible knives at thealexjonesstore.com. The sale is Blades and Bullion Super Sale. Now, ladies and gentlemen, despite the fact that we're about to sell out of the remaining collectible coins that are limited edition, they'll never be made again, and our incredible World War II updated Spartan trench knife with the skull crusher and the brass knuckles and the 10-inch stainless steel razor-sharp double-edged blade, and this incredible 6-inch battle dagger. Despite the fact they're selling out, we are offering all of these products at up to 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if I went into a knife shop and I saw these knives for this price, and they weren't even inscribed with 1776 or Tip of the Spear or InfoWars, I would still get them because I'm a knife aficionado and I know the best. And the reason that is because these are the knives I love. These are the knives I think are the best. It took us over a year to get a supplier at a decent price with high quality for this bad boy right here. And it's selling out quick. got an amazing inscription, tip of the spear with the Spartan. On the other side, InfoWars, a true piece of history with the high-tech scabbard sheath that hooks on your belt. Simply amazing. Now look at this bad boy. It goes great in your purse, great in your car, right on your side, high-tech sheath. Doesn't come out, but easily, doesn't fall out, but easily pulls out. This won't run out of bullets. This will defend you and your family. Let's grab a 7076 on one side, collectible, limited edition, Alex Jones signature on the other side. And it comes with this collectible gift case. Makes an amazing gift as well. And then, as I was mentioning, look at these coins. There are only a few hundred left of each one of these. Only 5,000 were made of each. You've got, due to popular demand, Alex Jones on one side, InfoWars on the other. Then you've got one of my favorites, Paul Revere, his Midnight Ride, Our Lives, Our Fortune, and Our Honor, Declaration of Independence on the other. Then you've got the Tip of the Spear Spartan helmet and the Gadsden flag snake with the spear through the middle, Tip of the Spear. And then this one, they hold back only a few hundred of these. Even though these were available anymore, Trump, fight, 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 battle for the Republic, commemorating President Trump. All four of these coins are about to sell out. You can get them discounted individually or even bigger discount when you get all four together. Right now, part of the Blades and Bullion Super Sale. These are collectible. These are great prices. This knife right here sells for $100 in stores. We bought 5,000 of them. They're almost sold out, but I'm selling to you for $78, and it funds the operation. Same thing with this. This knife sells all day for $150 in stores. We bought a whole bunch of them. What's massively discounted to you. And you talk about defending yourself and your family, this is it. And you're also funding the Tip of the Spear and the information war while you do this, so you cannot lose. The only way you fail is not taking action at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get the Ultra Breath and Elite Blue, get the very best Irish Sea Moss, the very best Shilajit, the very best turmeric. It's all there, and it funds this operation. I cannot do this without you. I try to bring you really cool things that I think are amazing, the best supplements, you name it. So you buy it, you get it, you love it, it empowers you, and you're happy with what you did. You continue to support us. I want a long-term relationship with you. I want to thank those who have supported the broadcast. I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence to take action now, get amazing products, and keep us on the air. Be part of history. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, so crunching some numbers in the break. The average Social Security recipient receives $24,000 a year, which is not enough to live off of, by the way. So that's kind of an interesting thing that people are going to have to deal with in the future. If they thought they could live off of that, maybe people are dealing with it now. But at around, it's really probably just under, but around 24, we're rounding, 24,000 a year, 275,000 in illegal aliens getting Social Security. That's over $6 billion. Okay? You also had $6 billion for the illegal alien invasion. So, I mean, this is the kind of waste, fraud, and abuse that Americans should have zero tolerance of, ladies and gentlemen. Zero, in fact, negative tolerance. We should be outright insolent over these statistics. A 3% T-tax, we started a revolution over. They just rob us of trillions of dollars now, and we barely blink an eye. We barely make a peep. So these are the numbers of waste, fraud, and abuse we're dealing with. TJ in Texas was laying some of this out and then says, so you think Trump is making this up? Why?
Well, for one, in order to receive Social Security benefits, you have to pay into Social Security using a Social Security number. And then once an employer like attaches a Social Security number to your wages, that does go into Social Security. However, if you when that number is cross-checked with DHS to see whether or not that is an actual valid Social Security number, if it's not a valid Social Security number, it goes into like a dead letter file, which funds Social Security. So actually having
people working in the United States with fake Social Security numbers because they're illegal aliens, it's actually a net boon for Social Security, honestly, because they can't get the money out.
Okay, but let me address it in a couple things here. One, if somebody comes in and starts working in the country at 40 or 50 paying Social Security, they're not going to pay as much as an American that's been paying into Social Security since, say, they were 18. So there is a little bit of a discrepancy there as far as the logic is concerned. But okay, I suppose your point makes sense to say, and look, I mean, I'm not saying you're a Democrat, but the Democrats do argue that, hey, these people pay taxes too. But I think the other point you make actually proves that Trump is probably being honest, unless you think the government is good with numbers. So yeah, you're probably right about the process, and that's why they've identified now 275,000 illegal aliens receiving Social Security benefits, because they actually went in there and checked everything and cleaned the systems. Nobody was probably doing it. TJ, I thank you for the call. I mean, it's just like the voter rolls. Nobody cleans the voter rolls, and then dead people are voting. So it's like, yeah, nobody checks the Social Security rolls. Illegal aliens are receiving Social Security. So I have no doubt. I have no doubt that that was going on. I have no doubt about that. Let's go to Vince in Pennsylvania. Vince, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Owen. I just wanted to talk about being a young American and wondering, is this possibly the, not end, but the start of the end? We're not going to get the Epstein files. There will probably be some false flag to start either AI controlling us or a war in the Middle East. I mean, I've seen it my whole life. There's nothing else in the Middle East except war. Where are we going?
So you're just saying false flag to reach an agenda is what you're saying here? Inevitable?
Correct.
When I do all the crunching of these things, I tend to agree. I tend to agree. It's like when I was crunching everything about this drip, drip, drip from these new Trump Epstein files that we'd never seen before, and I'm like, well, why? It's because it's coming from a foreign intelligence agency. And then, oh, a Mossad asset comes out and says, yeah, this is, Israel is doing this to get him to regime change in Iran. So yeah, sometimes you just use deductive reasoning and you can reach a conclusion that it's like, yeah, that's 95% chance happening. So I tend to reach the same conclusion that a false flag is inevitable. I think there's a couple different angles. You kind of touched on maybe the two biggest ones there of what's going to be the excuse to bring in the new surveillance state. What's going to be the excuse to start a new war in the Middle East? And it's going to have to be a false flag. And so, unfortunately, I think that is a high odds. Maybe we can avoid it. You know, maybe for all the things that Trump has gotten weak on or compromised on, maybe he still will keep us from enduring something like that if he can, if this administration can. But I don't think you're the only one in that camp. I'd say major false flag to bring in a surveillance state, major false flag to get another war in the Middle East. Man, I mean, right now I'd say you're hovering around 50%. Maybe you're at 49%. Maybe that's me being optimistic, but yeah, I mean, you're hovering. Those are high odds.
I'm optimistic that we can get out of this, but I guess my problem is, where do we find our grouping? Is it together on the side of Tucker? Is it together on the side of Nick? Where is our common ground as American people, and where do we go for the future?
Well, I said this before, and I'm not trying to avoid your direct question here. I've never gotten involved in personal, you know, issues or spats or beef that people have. I've always gotten along with everybody. I make an effort to do that, and I think I've been pretty successful, but not that I'm avoiding the question. Because I said this back after Trump won the election. The important thing is going to be remembering what you stand for, not who you stand for. So don't even think about it as a cult of personality issue or who we group around or follow. You can trust whoever you want or not trust whoever you want in the media, and you can choose whoever you want to spend your time with every day. I am grateful that you choose to spend time with us. That means we're doing something worth your time. So that's my angle here. As you tune in here, I want to make it worth your time. Just remember what you stand for and forget about the who. If you know the what, then you'll find the who, and sometimes the who will be on your side. Sometimes they won't. As far as the future is concerned, I would just say in the meantime, you're not going to get anything on Israel probably from this administration. You're not going to get it. It's clear. They're all in for Israel. It's going to be Israel first whenever it's time to be. And that's just it. That's just the reality of the situation. So it drives us nuts, makes some of us sick, but that's just the reality of the situation. You gotta play on the playing field as it is. So I wouldn't anticipate anything about that. I wouldn't get your hopes up on anything with Israel good happening. But what does that mean for the future? This is the boomer's last gasp. Trump is the boomer's last gasp politically. Boomer politics, Cold War era foreign policy, even the post-World War II type of geopolitical approach is all dead. It's all gone. Trump is the last gasp. Trump is the last thrust. Trump is the last real political momentum behind any of these ideologies. These are all things of the past. Now, the last caller brings up, or actually you've been on the line a minute now. You bring up a false flag. Now, that's the kind of thing that jilts the future into a new direction. So the powers that be obviously see this. The powers that be obviously see Israel has lost all its popularity and is two election cycles away from getting no support from the United States. Why do you think Lindsey Graham is going over there and saying, if America pulls its support from Israel, then God pulls its support from us? I mean, that's a hostage negotiation. That's a blackmail negotiation. So the gig is up. The gig is up on Israel. The Lindsey Grahams and even now the Donald Trumps. That political ideology will be a thing in the past in 4 years. And you're going to get your first referendum with Mamdani. People will deny it, and they'll kick and scream, and they'll call you names and all this other stuff. It won't matter. That will not matter. So really what you're going to see in the political future is you're going to have a right wing that is probably going to be a lot more conservative, a lot more isolationist, a lot more America first. It's not going to happen with Trump, but it's going to happen in the future. It's inevitable. And then you're going to have a left wing that's just outright communist, just outright socialist, outright communist. And so that's the future. That's the future right there. But we're not there yet. We're stuck in this administration. We know what we're going to get now. I think we know what we're not going to get now. And this is the boomer's last gasp. So you're going to see it on the left. You're going to see a Mamdani. You're going to see an AOC. And then on the right, it's going to be more a Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Thomas Massie. So that's the future. But we're not there yet. So we have to deal with the playing field that we're in, Vince.
Of course. Thank you, Owen.
All right. Thank you. How about Tony in Texas? Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like how we went from mass deportations to targeted deportations. In other words, we told the illegals, as long as you don't murder anyone or rape or murder or do any crimes, well, you get to stay. And that 1.6 million that self-deported, I hate to tell people, but 2.6 million have stuck into the country through the airport and open border policy we have with Mexico. If you notice, the media never goes to the international bridges and shows you all that traffic coming from Mexico in here. And they never go to the airport and show you all the people coming from foreign countries through the airport. They never show you any of that.
Well, let me address a couple of these things. The international bridges are always packed. So I don't really know what conclusions you're trying to draw there. Anytime I've been down there, I've seen them. They're always packed. I think that's just normal traffic. As far as what's going on at the airports, I guess I can't say for sure, but during the Biden years, yeah, you go to a lot of these Texas airports, especially in border towns, you're 100% going to see the manila envelopes and all the illegals. That was a guarantee. I feel like if that was still going on, you'd see it. So I'm doubting that that's still going on, but I haven't been there. So I guess I can't say for sure. So I don't know. It sounds like you're doubting the fact that, illegal border crossings are down to almost nothing. I believe that that's happening, but it sounds like you're doubting it. as far as the self-deportations, I suppose they can throw any number that they want out there, and you're just either going to believe it or not. But if there's any evidence, look at what's happened in Los Angeles. The hospitals are empty. Traffic is down. I don't know what else that would be. I don't know what else would cause those phenomenons to just disappear after they've been around for years. So you can comment on that if you want. But let me just ask you this, though. What would you do if you're Donald Trump? Unless you're saying you don't think he was ever serious about the deportations, but I'll ask you, if you're Donald Trump and you're trying to do the mass deportations and you're sending ICE out and they're doing it and you get a call from 50 people in manufacturing, 50 people in agriculture, and they call you up and they say, Mr. President, you just deported 25% of my workforce. I can't meet standards. Mr. President, you just deported 25% of my field hands. I can't get food on the shelves. What would you do, Tony?
Well, first off, we have an open border policy in Mexico. They can come and go.
I understand that. Tony, but answer the question. What would you do? Because this is what Trump had to deal with. What would you do?
They all got to go. They're illegally. They broke our laws. I can't break laws. I go to jail.
All right.
That.
So fair enough. Hey, I believe you. But you're saying you would accept it. And hey, we're cutting 25% of production because we're getting rid of illegals. You would, as president, you'd say okay.
The cost of everything sky high now. What difference would it make until it gets adjusted? Let's put America.
It would go up even higher. But hey, okay. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Zero tolerance. I get it.
I've got something else I need to talk to you. But basically, we have an open border policy with Mexico, and they can come and go all they want. That's why you see all the Mexican flags in our faces over here, because they come over here and they stay, because we have an open border policy, and they can come and go all they want. But another thing, have you noticed you never see any investigations or any film footage on lobbyists and who these lobbyists are? Have you noticed that? And the reason why you're not going to see that, that's the silent people. That's the people running
our country. What lobbyists are you referring to?
Any lobbyist. Have you ever seen any of them or seen their...
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with that. That's very public information. People talk about the big lobbyists all the time. You never hear about the Adelsons? You never hear about the Koch brothers? Well, you never hear about Soros? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but they never get investigated or...
Well, they're not technically breaking any laws.
They run our country into the ground.
Yeah, they suck. But they're not, they're not doing anything illegal.
What I'm getting at is they own our politicians. We can vote till we're blue in the face.
Sure.
Two-party system.
Sure, sure. And that's why people are sick of AIPAC, too. And I thank you for the call. And you bring that up. And if you were listening earlier when I played the Beto Gavin Newsom clip, at the end of that, Beto says we have to do something about these lobbyists. I forget exactly what he says, but he's like these lobbyists that are controlling our Congress, which of course is, ironic because they take all the lobbying money. When Beto ran against Ted Cruz, I think at the time, that was the most money that ever went into a Senate race, I believe, was Beto. I think it was like 50 million in a Senate race. And I think that was the most ever at that time. I'm sure somebody's shattered it by now. So I actually say we need to have way stricter campaign finance laws. I mean, like campaign finance law needs to be completely, completely torn apart and restructured. And I don't really know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know the right way to go about it. But I think the general approach should be you can't have somebody like the Adelsons donating $300 million. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. And I know there's always going to be different loopholes. And so I don't know if it's like you ban any corporate money in D.C. or corporate lobbying money, or you put a really small cap on that and you do the same for private, or you say it can only be personal donations or it can only be this. But this is ridiculous. Yeah, you can't have somebody like the Adelsons, and they're not the only one. Soros does it too. You can't have people spending hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to influence elections. And I can sit here and I say, well, what about Elon Musk? He's spending his money, and I think that's a good thing. Well, he only does that because somebody has to compete with the Soros of the world. That's the only reason why he has to do it, is because nobody else does it. So he's like, okay, I'll come in here and make an America First PAC, and I'll put money to actual America First candidates. So that was just out of necessity. I'd say the way to do it is, I don't know, $5,000 maximum donation. I'm serious. Because what you've done is you've created a political environment where only the rich have a say. So it's like, well, gee, why do Americans have such a big issue right now with the Israeli lobby? Well, isn't it obvious? Because the Israeli lobby has more influence over our political issues and policies and politicians than the American people do. And they say, oh, well, you know, AIPAC, that's full of Americans. Stop it. Stop with this lie. Let's not pretend that the average American Jew that's political isn't loyal to Israel. Stop it. I'm not playing this stupid game. Everybody knows it's true. And then they send all these other conservative influencers on the Israel trip. It's all to make them loyal to Israel. Just stop this game, okay? Please. Please. It's embarrassing. I guess I would say it's a bad thing. I'm not even saying they're bad people. It's just clearly a phenomenon. So you can't have this. You can't have the Adelsons. You can't have the AIPAC lobby able to spend hundreds of millions of dollars that results in Israel first policies. And then people sit here and they say, I'm sick of the Israeli lobby. And they say, well, gee, you know, why? What's so bad about that? Because the Israeli lobby has more say in D.C. than Americans. And I'm using one example because it's just the hottest topic right now. But it's true. The average American can't afford to donate 5,000, 5 million, let alone 500 to a campaign. They don't get any influence. The average American can't pay 25 grand to go sit at a table with Donald Trump. They can't afford that. They don't get the access. They don't get the influence. So they get left out. And it doesn't matter who the politician is. Trump has proved it. It doesn't matter. The average American doesn't have the financing to influence politics. You get a vote, and then you're done. So, yeah, you have to restructure. I'd say maybe 5,000, and that might even be generous. I'd say 5,000. $5,000 max for any corporation, any individual, to any political campaign. That's all you can do, 5,000. And maybe that's just the cap generally. Every year, let's say. Every year, an individual can make $5,000 in campaign contributions, and that's it. You can choose. You can do it locally, statewide, national, whatever you want to do. $5,000, that's all you get. That's your cap. Same with corporations. $5,000 a year, that's all you get. And that'll level the playing field a little bit. And I think it will also have another desired result where, and you might say, well, now you're getting even more elitist, but you'll force people to spend their own money if they want to win an election. Which, I mean, if you're willing to spend your own money to win, then you're probably in it for a right reason. You're probably a true believer. Say, well, then only the rich can run. Well, you know what? Maybe it's okay that somebody that has a lot more to lose, maybe it's okay that somebody has worked and earned their keep, gets a little better leverage in an election cycle. Doesn't mean the little guy can't win with the right message, but that's how you do that. And I actually think it's long overdue. Campaign finance law has to be restructured, and it has to, I mean, you can't have people just donating hundreds of millions of dollars. You can't do it. You just can't do it. The average American has no say in policy anymore. It's only the rich. It's only the people that can buy access and buy influence. That's it. And since the whole game is rigged, since the whole system is rigged, they get to pick winners and losers. And so now they get to pick who has the influence. Just like when the Democrats are writing all of these laws to fight man-made climate change, and they just a slush fund for all of their friends, and they all get millions of dollars to make these green new energies that don't go anywhere, and then that money goes right back into the Democrats' pockets politically. So yeah, you say, huh, Why is Israel like the top issue for this administration? Why are they so obsessed with cracking down on anti-Semitism? Well, because who do you think runs the administration? Who do you think runs Congress? I mean, isn't it obvious? Isn't that the big story? So, yeah, the average American can't pay hundreds of millions of dollars like the Adelsons. The average American can't pay hundreds of millions of dollars like AIPAC. So the average American doesn't get a seat at the table. The average American has no say once the election is over. That's it. It's done. So you absolutely, you got to do something about that. That's a disaster. But you hear politicians talk about it, and then they never do anything, right? Because they all want the campaign donations. They tell you how bad it is. They tell you how corrupt it is. And then once they're done talking, they go behind the closed doors and they open up that pocketbook for anybody who's willing to pay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I don't hear anybody serious about that. Just like what happened with Doge. Hey, Doge is getting in there. We're going to get $1 trillion, maybe $2 trillion in cuts. What'd you get? 50 million? Yeah. So that's the problem. The government doesn't want to stop stealing our money. Stunned. Politicians don't want to stop raking in cash hand over fist. Selling out the country. Shocked. It's like asking the criminal to investigate himself, asking the criminal to stop his criminal activity. Just doesn't really happen like that, does it? So I would say that absolutely needs to be done. All right, second hour closing out. Still a lot of news and video clips to get to before we close out the day. Folks, do not forget, subscribe today for the bovine colostrum plus the brand new supplement at thealexjonesstore.com, cellular recovery and defense matrix. Fuel your cells, feed your gut with the brand new bovine colostrum plus. Supports immune health, promotes gut integrity, aids muscle recovery, enhances cell protection, and boosts nutrient uptake. And when you subscribe right now at thealexjonesstore.com, you will get 50% off. It will be guaranteed in stock for you, and it will have auto ship as well. So you support the transmission, you support the team, you get a great product, great for your health, and it's guaranteed in stock. Plus, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, it's a Jeep Gladiator Rubicon, but you can only win by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com.
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexjonesstore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? Why do you got that email? And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum. And it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle recovery aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and energy balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
clean it up.
You've heard him bloviate on TV, interviews, and social media, but never before have all his failures been brought together in one collection.
We all need to self-medicate periodically.
The people that brought you Biden's blunders and Kamala's cackles now proudly present Gavin Newsom's greatest hits.
This whole damn border debate is made up. It's made up.
And who could forget?
Well, finally, California is going to get it right with this new high-speed rail.
Timeless classics.
If we can just get everybody vaccinated that's not vaccinated, that's refusing to get vaccinated, that's living vaccine-free and impacting the rest of us. It's like drunk drivers.
And cliches.
These are organized gangs of people that are coming out. And forgive me for saying gangs. I know that's not a pejorative. They're organized groups of folks.
Everyone's favorite.
Deeply sorry about that. I have hurt someone I care deeply about, Alex Turk, and his friends and family.
Platitudes.
I thought I was dumb.
I mean, look like a third world country.
We haven't been looking that good in the last few decades in this state.
And failures like...
And that's why we established this framework, what we call a 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness in San Francisco.
Order Gavin Newsom's greatest hits by calling 1-916-445-2841. Gavin Newsom's greatest hits, not available in stores. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Money back guarantee. Please, for the love of God, keep this guy out of the White House.
Now that's funny. I believe Kevin Dalton, the name of the creator there. That is funny stuff. No, I don't think he's getting anywhere near the White House. He'll run, but I don't even know if Democrats will want him. He'll get the wine mom vote, and that's probably about it. Now, you've had Spencer Pratt, who has just been on the political warpath against Newsom after his house burned to the ground. Now, he's selling merchandise that says Spencer for governor. I don't think he's actually running. I mean, I haven't seen an announcement, so I don't know if this is just a merchandise campaign. But I'll tell you what, that would be fun. That would be fun. And it would kind of put us into this new political era that Trump really introduced, which is you can run for office now and you don't have to be a political wonk. You don't even have to really have any political experience. You just have to have a message and a following. And that's really what you can do now. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's an actual thing he's planning on doing. That'd be fun, though. I think that would be fun. All right, one more thing here. So, the food stamp recipients are getting some bad news here that they're getting cut off. Well, this is not really a promising thing to hear here. This was the situation. This was the situation in clip 10.
You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of the food stamp office, okay? Okay, hang on. Before I get myself worked up, I just came here to talk about how I went from literally $1,700 in food stamps for a family of three, okay? I don't work. I stay home every day. I'm not able to work, so I should be getting the maximum amount.
Really?
Especially because he needs cereal, chips, pop. He needs all that. And I need my energy drink. So I'm not going to have this taking me down from that much. And they took me all the way down to $120, which they didn't even tell me why. I just got this
still
notice
more than
here
you
it
get.
Says they were cutting me back on food stamps.
Yep.
So now I'm really going to have to cut back on everything. He's not going to be able to have his pop no more.
It's not our
He's
problem.
He's not going to be able to have his cereal every day
all
for
right.
breakfast.
So look, I hate to be cold about this, but it's just the facts. Sometimes you got to be cold. I'm sorry, but that's nobody's responsibility, but the parents of the kid. But you see the mindset here, and I'm telling you, it's like a mental disorder. She's like, oh, what happened? How am I supposed to care? They literally think this stuff just comes out of nowhere. They literally, they think they're entitled to this stuff.
Step right up, folks. Please don't stall. Mad Scientist Alex has got a cure for y'all. With a bloop, 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 and a fizz so fine, it'll pep your step and sharpen your mind. In a clean white lab with a patriotic grin, he's mixing up the freedom. Come and drink it on in. Sold on the site where the good times hum, at alexjonesstore.com. Yes, that's the one. Now he's got a treat that'll make you skip. Shilajit Gammies for that power trip. Pop one in and you'll feel brand new. Strong like a bull and make your brain flex too. He's got a treat that'll make you skip. Shilajit Gummies for the power.
Order Shilajit Gummies at the website below. Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Listen to that. I almost don't even blame that lady. I mean, it's not like I'm totally cold-hearted. I mean, politically, yeah, sometimes I am. Like, no, the government doesn't owe you anything. The American taxpayer doesn't owe you anything. You're entitled to nothing. But you almost kind of sense it like she really doesn't get it. It's beyond entitlement. It's like she doesn't even know. It's like, what do? I'm not getting free money. What? I thought it's just free money. I thought I just get free money. I thought somebody else made sure that my kids were taken care of. It's not my job. You can almost hear the cognitive dissonance in her voice. So it's like, hey, I can sit here and say, oh, I'm sorry you're in a situation or whatever the case is. But no, you're not entitled to anything. And they don't get it. They really think that they're somehow just entitled to free stuff. And then once it gets cut off, they're like, what? This is even possible? So, some people are in for a rude awakening. And I'm not even just talking about financially. I mean, like, welcome to the real world. Stuff isn't free. And you're entitled to nothing. And no, it's not the taxpayer's job to make sure that your kid gets cereal and pop. Just not. Now. All right. Let's start getting all these headlines off the desk. This is about to be a big story. I'm trying to get a representative from New Jersey on dealing with this. But it's not just going to be New Jersey. New Jersey residents' fury over soaring energy bills could hit Democrats in 2026 election. New analysis makes dark prediction on the future of U.S. energy costs. These states would be the most concerned. It's mostly the Democrat-run states. So here's what we're up against. And this is why, and I don't know if this was a mistake or a mismeasurement or things didn't go right, but the Trump administration has really put the cart before the horse with its current policies on AI and on the economy. Meaning, we don't have the energy for the data processing and for the AI right now. We just do not have it. It just doesn't exist. And if they go forward with this, then energy costs are going to skyrocket, or you're going to start seeing rolling blackouts. It's just inevitable. Now, specifically to this issue, you have these Democrat states like New Jersey, California, others, where they've already signed these bills that have put timestamps on energy saying in this year or in that year, we're going to 50% wind or 50% solar. We're getting off coal. We're getting off natural gas. And they've already signed these things into law. But what's the problem? They don't have the energy. It's not there. So they're either going to have to go, they're going to have to either act quickly and get back to coal and natural gas, or if they try to go into solar and wind and these green energy companies that they've already signed the laws with, you either will not have the energy or you're going to start seeing your energy costs skyrocket. Now, it's already happened in a lot of these states. It's already happening in these Democrat states badly. It's really happening across the nation. So this is about to be a chickens coming home to roost moment. The whole green energy scam is about to start hitting the pocketbooks hard. Hard. Folks. And the Trump administration needs to get out in front of this, because this is not going to be good for the economy and it's not going to be good for the Trump agenda. It's going to be a disaster. So if I'm the administration, and this is really into Chris Wright, I think he's the energy secretary. I believe it's Chris Wright, guys. Double check me on that. He needs to be in the Oval Office saying, Mr. President, we kind of have a red alert here. We already don't have the energy to support what we're trying to do with this economy and with the AI and the data processing and the manufacturing. Chris Wright, thank you, guys. Mr. President, we have an emergency. We don't have the energy. Now, we can get the energy. We have access to energy. But you need to do something. We gotta ramp up coal now. Like, not tomorrow, yesterday, now. And these states where they've signed laws flipping the energy grid. By the way, they did the same thing in Texas to a smaller degree. And then we had the ice storm 4 years ago and you had blackouts for like a month because they were trying to get energy from the wind and the sun and it wasn't there. And they said, oh, it's climate change. No. You turned off the energy. You literally turned it off. So these states where these laws are about to go into effect, I'm not talking about policy. Policy can change. These are laws. They have put laws on the books that set up the energy grid for total failure. Even if they had the energy from wind and solar, even if they had it, it couldn't power everything and your bill would go up. They don't even have it, folks. The energy is not even there. And so states like California and states like New Jersey, it's about to hit them. And it's about to hit them hard. Now, it's very likely, no matter where you're at, you're listening to this, your energy bill has probably skyrocketed in the last 5 years and it's not come back down. So if I'm President Trump, and I know he's got a big thing coming up with Putin this Friday, and they just announced they're going to have a second meeting, which looks good as far as getting a peace deal done. So I'd say that's good signs. I wouldn't be too thrilled about what the final result is going to end up being. I think a lot of people are going to have to make some compromises, including us. Like, who knows if we'll ever be able to recoup that $350 billion we lost over there, but it looks like that's a sign that there's probably going to be a deal made. So that's good, but it's like, hey, we're about to have an energy crisis here. That is a serious issue, an energy crisis. We don't have the energy for the manufacturing and the AI and the data processing. It just doesn't exist. And now that they're flipping onto all this green stuff, now you have a bigger problem. So this is kind of a red alert here. And I would imagine because they're talking about, oh, this is going to hit the Democrats in 2026. Okay, well, that's nice as a political issue. How about the fact that your energy bill is about to skyrocket in 2 years if they don't reverse this? I mean, this is like emergency alert. Forget about trying to figure out how you're going to power the new manufacturing data processing AI. How are you going to make energy affordable for Americans in a couple years once all the Green New Deal crap starts kicking in at the state level? This is bad. Chris Wright and Trump really need to get a round table on this deal, and they really need to start putting pressure on these states, and they need to say, hey, look, you got to go back to coal. You have to. We gotta do something with coal here, and we gotta do it fast. Immediately. And, I mean, look, you don't have the big coal lobbyists up there. You don't have people in the coal industry in there every day with Trump like the big tech people. So it's always buying access. But, like, this is extremely important. So I would imagine it becomes a political issue really soon. But if they don't act on this fast, it's going to become a economy issue is what it's going to become. Because Americans are going to see their energy bills skyrocketing. They're not seeing it go down. So the Trump administration needs to really pivot here and put a full force and motion behind U.S. energy. And so, yeah, that's drill, baby, drill. But that's coal, that's natural gas, and that's really putting it to rest, this whole green new energy deal. You got to kill it. It's a disaster waiting to happen. And so you could sit here and think, well, they could let it happen and then blame it on the Democrats and let them eat it and then really stop that forever. But now you're playing with fire now because, you know, people aren't that bright. You know that people aren't that bright and they'll pin that on you and they'll say energy costs are going up because of Trump. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. They'll blame it on you and people will believe it. So I'd say emergency, emergency, emergency. President Trump and Chris Wright, you need to turn on the coal industry fast. Because you can get that going pretty quick. You know, drilling and natural gas, there's probably a little bit more of a process. And they got other issues with that. But the coal, it's like, that's ready to go. You can inject into the coal industry, you can stimulate the coal industry, and you can turn that on, and we can get that cranking fast. And it's got to happen. I mean, it's got to happen. And then, really, you have to start pressuring these AI companies, and you have to start telling them, you know, you're going to have to build a nuclear plant to power your stuff. You have to do it. Or you can build it on a body of water like Google's has done. I think that's in Oregon. And you can power it with a dam, and you can get the water from the river. But, I mean, this is something that I don't really see them addressing, and I don't know if it's because they don't want to talk about it because it could be bad or maybe they haven't realized it, but you're going to have an energy shortage. You're going to have an energy shortage if you don't address this fast. And it's going to become a political issue. And if you think you can just stick this to the Democrats, you're going to learn the hard way. That's not how this is going to go. So before the energy bills start ticking up again, I would move into an emergency motion on this as soon as possible. But you're going to start hearing more about that. I think you're going to start hearing more about that pretty soon. By the way, did you see the video of the electric car? It was a Ford Mustang, I guess. It was an electric car. And something went wrong and the steering locked up. And it basically rode the rail here and then got into a bad accident. Man, this is why I don't think I could ever do the self-driving car thing. This is why I don't think I could ever do it. This is why this is like my worst fear. Well, okay, I don't know if they are self-driving either, but the guy's electric vehicle, it locked up on him. So whatever electronics they have in there running that deal, it locked up on him. So yeah, that's like my ultimate fear in these electric vehicles, these self-driving vehicles. I don't think I could ever do it. Not for me. Not for me. You got to be careful with this stuff. It's kind of like this. I would not suggest this. Man develops rare health condition after ChatGPT query over stopping eating salt. It's kind of a strange headline from the Guardian there. U.S. Medical Journal article about a 6-year-old Bromazin warns against using AI app for health information. He was asking the chatbot for health information, and he took it and then got a health condition. So you got to be careful with the AI. Gotta be careful there. Yeah. Not a good situation. All right, let's hit this geopolitical stack quickly before we close out this segment. Let's start here, shall we? Well, maybe we'll wait on that. First of all, so Pete Buttigieg, he might still have political ambitions, this guy. And now he's trying to thread the needle on the whole Israel-Gaza thing because he knows enough that if you want to become president still at this point, in 4 years, probably not. But at this point, if you want to become president or you want to have political victories, you gotta, you know, you gotta get on your knees for the Israeli lobby, or at least you gotta open up your bank account for them to buy the influence. Well, he comes out and makes a statement being interpreted as anti-Israel or pro-Gaza. It's like, oh, God forbid you don't like seeing all the death and destruction in Gaza. So now he's being criticized for that. And then now, though, the Democrats are kind of looking at this. Buttigieg discovers Democrats' 2028 litmus test, Israel. That's Politico. What have I been saying, folks? What have I been saying? This is going to be the issue. And the Democrats are seeing it. That's what I'm trying to tell people, man. Don't discount the political referendum that Mamdani is going to represent. And the Democrats are already seeing it, folks. They're already seeing it. And, you know, the Politico is like, in a way, it's kind of the Democrat playbook. It's like the Democrat playbook in, like, mouthpiece. They just can't help it. So they know. They see this, folks. They see Mamdani, and they're saying, what is he doing? What's so popular? Oh, it's the Israel thing. Okay. So I've been saying it. I've been saying this is the referendum. I've been saying that we're now two election cycles away from it being the top thing and then having a complete reversal. The Democrats are ahead of it now. The Democrats are seeing it now. They're getting it. It doesn't matter if it's a moral issue or not for them. It's all about power. So I'm just telling Republicans, man, you're about to blow this thing big, and you're just not getting it. You're just not getting it at all. So I don't want to see the Democrats win. And I get, even if Republicans believe it, which they do, that Israel is our greatest ally, a lot of them still do, or at least they're paid to say it. But it's a political cancer pill. I'm telling you right now, it's a political cancer pill, and the Democrats are seeing it, folks. They're getting it. And if you're going to let them own this issue, then kiss the house goodbye. Kiss it goodbye. And you see all these people, they're so sick of it. I get it. I'm sick of it too. But like I say, it's in the news every day. It's the top story. It's one of the biggest political issues we're facing. And it's just true. We're on an anti-establishment campaign. That's what we're really doing here. We are on an anti-establishment campaign. Global government. The global government. The corporate world government establishment. We have devastated them. They're on the mat. The liberal, progressive liberal left political establishment. We've devastated them. They're on the map. Now what? Now we're on a new level. We're on the Israel lobby establishment. We're on the Israel controlling our foreign policy establishment. And now we're in a slobber knocker with them. We're throwing haymakers left and right. Who's going to hit the mat? Who's going to end up standing? I got news for you. It's not going to be the pro-Israel side. And it doesn't matter how much money they spend. It is not going to work. The youth is done with it. It is a political cancer pill. And the Republicans just can't leave it alone. And then it's Ted Cruz. He says, why does Tucker Carlson seem to care so much about Israel? Because he has guests on that are critical of Israel. Ted, you're literally the guy that told Tucker Carlson that how much you love Israel. That was literally you. You brought that up. You have politicians, they say, the only reason I got into politics was for Israel. So it's not a Tucker Carlson thing. This is a top story thing, and our Republican candidates seem to care more for Israel than they do us. Meet the Israeli fanatic running Ted Cruz's office. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tucker's the one obsessed with Israel. No, Ted, you're the one taking the money from the Israel lobby. You're the one with the staff that is all in for Israel, not Tucker. So that's, but again, see, like, they know it, but they can't, they're all bought and paid for, so they can't, they don't know what to do. So they just continue to sell the propaganda. They just continue with the big Israel lie, and it doesn't even matter now that everybody sees how embarrassing they look when they do it. They have no choice. They're bought and paid for. This is, it's just like Lindsey Graham. Oh, you pull, if America stops supporting Israel, then America dies. I mean, that is just like, it's disgusting. Like, how could anybody ever vote for that jackass ever again? Oh, gee, I wonder why. Oh, it's not like Lindsey Graham is blackmailed. It's not like Lindsey Graham is a closeted homosexual or anything that he gets blackmailed. No way. This is Newsmax and Christopher Ruddy. They go to Israel. It's like, how do you even explain this stuff? It's insane. Listen to this. CEO of Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy, in Israel. Listen to what he says. Clip two.
On October 7th, we all recognize that all people who love freedom and cherish the values of a great society, on that day, we all became Israelis, and we all stood with Prime Minister Netanyahu and the people of Israel, and we stand with you today.
You're an Israeli.
Today, we welcome a statesman who has been tested on the world stage and will continue to meet those tests with iron will and unshakable purpose. Please join me in giving a warm and heartfelt welcome to the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, look at the Qatar influence. Oh, wow. So much Qatar.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Newsmax, for helping us on the 8th front war.
Yeah, the propaganda.
7 fronts against Iran and its proxies. The 8th front, the battle for truth.
Yeah, your propaganda.
And Newsmax, you have let the truth circle the globe against the lies that have circled it before and continue to do so. There's only one way to beat the lies, and that's with the truth. Thank you for standing up with Israel. Thank you for standing up with...
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? That is rich. Honestly, the whole thing has reached unreal levels here. By the way, they claim that was the 4th of July celebration on August 13th in Israel. So that's what we're doing now, is we're celebrating the 4th of July in August by showing dependence with Israel. So Independence Day, it's supposed to be about American independence. Now it's about, you know, Israel is America and they depend on us, so we're okay with that. I mean, it's just insane. It's all Qatar influence, though, don't you know? So UEFA, European Soccer League, had a presentation at a Super Cup game. It's a big soccer game. They had a banner on the field that said, "Stop killing children, stop killing civilians." That's all it said while they were doing the presentation before the game. And look at some of these responses. UEFA statement on the pitch for Super Cup. They might as well have gone the whole way and written, "F.U. Jews." So saying, "Stop killing children, stop killing civilians," that is F.U. Jews? So did you just admit that Jews are killing children and civilians? Because that's what it would appear. Here's another one. "Oh, this just proves that UEFA supports Hamas. Supports Hamas. Stop killing children and civilians means you support Hamas." I'm wondering, did you think about that before you sent it? Did you read that before you sent it? Do you realize what you're saying here? Apparently not. But that just shows you how they're just totally brainwashed. It's total brainwashing on this issue.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, "Here, take this, see what happens." Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, "Sure, he'll take it." He'd heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more Methylene Blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at theologyshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenstore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexShow.com. So,
it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
In a world of deceit, it's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
How do you feel about that sound? Well, I guess depending on how old you are, you may or may not even recognize that sound. Gosh, guys, I think we're getting old here. That is the sound of AOL dial-up internet. And if you were scrolling America Online in the late 90s, early 2000s, you are all too familiar with that sound. Next month, AOL will be officially discontinuing its dial-up service after 34 years in operation. They are cutting the service. Yeah, is that therapeutic now? What was that like for you guys? I remember at first it's like obnoxious, right? At first the sound is like obnoxious. And it's even weirder because it's like not even, it almost like the sound comes from the ether. It's like, where does the sound even come from? What is this? And then after a while, you like get used to it and you start like humming along with it, or you're with your friends, you're about to browse the internet and you're all kind of making the noise. It's just like a whole thing. I don't want to. Oh my gosh. So that's it. Oh my gosh. Who had that disc? I remember that. Do they even know what that is? Do you think they'd even know? What's the age cutoff for that? Actually, there was a funny video. It was a father and his daughter. I think she was a teenager, teenage daughter and a father. And it was like, okay, here's things. It was a younger dad. Here's things that you probably have never even heard of. You don't even know. I was actually stunned. Like a DVD? Didn't even know what a DVD was. That's wild. That's wild. That's why I say, and it might even be beyond, it might even be with your grandparents, but the world I grew up in and the world my dad grew up in are way more similar than, say, the world that you and your kids will grow up in. The world that you and your children will grow up in are going to be completely different experiences, where the world that me and my father grew up in, very, very similar, things we can relate to. Now it's just like totally different world, completely different. And then imagine, because it only goes exponentially faster. It doesn't slow down. So that's it, though. You won't be hearing that noise anymore. Unless you want to source out that sound and play it on YouTube or something. Maybe you do. I don't know. Put it on repeat. Boy, oh boy. Let's just exhaust these videos here, and then we will maybe take a couple more calls, a couple more headlines, final segment of today's show. Dr. Peter McCullough, this is just devastating news, folks. This is crazy. And, I mean, it's so strange to sit here and think about that time. It seems so long ago. It seems so foreign now. Warning people against the vaccines. And you don't even really chalk it up on a board, because it's just like, how do you even measure this stuff? But, I mean, it had to be some of the most important work we've ever done. When you just think about the ramifications. So listen to Dr. Peter McCullough talking about what they've discovered more than 3 years after the mRNA here in clip 7.
I finished with a patient today. He is in research. We're using a lab in Germany. We have detectable Pfizer messenger RNA in his body now, 3.2 years after the shots. For sure. For sure. So people who took these shots, they've got it. They've got it at least long term now. And I've testified in the House last year, and I said, listen, I think we got 5 to 15 years, of concern here. This is very long acting genetic material. And I think we should assume that all messenger RNA coming forward is going to be very long acting in the body. And we need to be prepared for it.
Yeah. And so that's one angle of the insane corruption and crimes against humanity that came from the pandemic. But listen to this one. Report from OAN here. I mean, folks, as if you didn't have enough evidence that the whole thing was planned, this is like the cherry on top. The whole thing was planned, folks. The whole pandemic was a planned event. Unbelievable stuff. Listen to this in clip 12.
Well, in the wake of the virus, investors who bought pandemic bonds from the World Bank in 2017 are set to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's One America's Pearson Sharp.
Following the outbreak of the coronavirus, investors who bought bonds from the World Bank back in 2017 are set to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. After the last outbreak of Ebola 3 years ago, the World Bank issued what's called pandemic bonds in an effort to raise money in case of another global viral catastrophe. The funding from these bonds would then be used to help support nations suffering from the infections, whether it be Ebola or some other disease. During a crisis, it's often difficult for relief agencies to get the money they need, and so the idea was to have the money already on hand when an emergency strikes. Investors eagerly bought up the bonds, worth about $500 million, ordering more than two times the amount which were being offered. The bonds had a high yield rate of nearly 12% and were set to mature in July of this year. But as always, there was a catch. If another major global outbreak occurred, investors would lose all their money. The deal clearly outlines the requirements for triggering such an event, specifically mentioning that if there's an outbreak of coronavirus, payment of bonds would be suspended. The agreement states that if more than 2,500 people die across at least eight different countries, investors will get nothing. 2 weeks ago, the bonds were worth 60% of what investors paid. Today, they're worth just 10%. Under the deal, the maximum potential payout is no more than $195 million.
I mean, folks, it's crazy. And it really shows you how corrupt our planet is. How sickly corrupt, really. How demonic our leaders are. Truly demonic. And I think it's so hard to comprehend because you can't even enter that type of headspace. You couldn't even think about, let's run a global criminal enterprise and then let's just rob everybody's money and let's make a virus and release it and then scam everybody to stay home for a year. I mean, you couldn't even comprehend being so maniacal. And yet these are the people that run the planet. There they are. Okay, hurricane season. They've got the cones. You know, by the way, if you're not in the cone, then you're probably going to get hit, by the way. So first, Hurricane Aaron was going to go out into the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, now it's going in, and they think it might hit Puerto Rico. Let's just pray this thing doesn't hit America. Let's just pray this thing doesn't hit Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Cuba. Let's just pray this thing stays out there. But they're thinking this thing could be a big one, and all the cones right now are not hitting America, which makes me think, oh boy, the cones never are right. So if the cones say it's not going to hit us, it's like, that's when you bet it will hit us. So we'll be monitoring this hurricane season. You feel like we're getting hit with weather weapons all the time now. Another flood. Four killed in historic flooding in East Tennessee as Chattanooga faces continued rain threat. Just massive flooding, record flooding in the summer. Wild stuff. All right, taking a call here. Let's go to Tim in California. Tim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, then, Owen. Thank you. Great show today, as always. You know, many different topics that you've hit on while I was on hold that I would just like to quickly hit. First off, when it comes to Social Security, Donald Trump, the President of the United States today, was speaking from the Oval Office, and he mentioned that there was 12.4 million people on the rolls of Social Security that are over 120 years old. As alarming as that is, 12.4 million over 120 years old. But then he went on to say there's actually 135,000 that are over 160 years old. And, of course, he couldn't help but mention many of these people are still cashing checks. Well, let's move on to the next subject. When it comes
that was discovered by Doge like 3 months ago.
Right. But what he's saying is we're going to clean it up. And I believe it's true. I really do believe he's going to clean
it up. Well, here's what's wild. And this is like, I don't know. I scratch my head. Doge discovered this 3 months ago, and it was just like, how can we still be dealing with this? Why wasn't it shut down immediately, and why wasn't it investigated where the payments were going? I mean, it's just like, what are we doing? I don't get it.
The government. government. It's like turning an ocean liner around in the middle of a tiny little river. It takes a little time.
Hey, yeah, I guess.
This too. Hey, I saw Bill Gates. He was at a plant. This is years ago. I saw it on you guys. You showed it. He's standing in some plant that's taking poop water and filtering it to where you could just drink it. And they made him a little glass of distilled poop water, and he drank it. And I thought, why on earth would he do that? And part of it is the AI thing. I brought this to Alex. One of the few times I've ever spoken to Alex, and it was because they were reopening Three Mile Island, the biggest nuclear disaster in all of United States history. That thing's been shut down for 40-plus years. And he signed some agreement where they're going to fire that thing up again at great risk to the general public. And no matter how well it goes, he gets all of the power no matter what. And I guess we just take all the risk. But regardless of all that, this AI needs lots and lots and lots of water.
Yeah.
It's going to need a lot of water.
Well, that's why I've been sitting here pounding this issue. They're putting the cart before the horse. I mean, I could focus on the AI angle, but there's other issues with it too. But they're putting the cart before the horse here. We don't have the energy, we don't have the water, so I just don't understand. I don't know where this is going. I feel like the tech guys got in there and maybe kind of took advantage of Trump's ignorance on this, and just said, "Oh yeah, let's just get it into motion. Here's all the good stuff." And he said, "Hey, sounds great," but nobody really presented him the negative side effects or said. Or nobody came into his ear and said, "Hey, Mr. President, we don't have the infrastructure for this yet."
I knew you hit all this, Owen, but let me give you one more. This is my parting shot. I saw two things where, hey, Zoran Mandami is going to be on the cover of Time magazine. It's called The Meaning of Zoran Mandami. And he says, hey, he's a democratic socialist. What he really is he's a Muslim Marxist. But regardless, it should be noted that the guy that had the Muslim Brotherhood come to the White House dozens of times, according to the check-in log, a former president, Barack Obama, he called Zoran Mamdani. And I would love to be a fly on the wall and find out, hey, are you trying to tell him, yeah, I've been staying here in Washington, D.C. all these years just waiting to clobber him, and now you're here too, and this is New York City. It's the financial capital of the world. We're just going to sneak in here. Nobody's even going to notice, just like AOC and all the others. We're just going to slam them. They won't even be – they're going to be asleep, won't even see it coming.
Well, everybody sees it coming. Sorry. They're in denial, though.
Yeah, but just saying, man, I cannot believe – New York City, financial capital of the world, is going to sit there and let what he declares himself to be a democratic socialist. He is a Muslim Marxist, okay? That's what he is. And you're going to sit there and elect that guy to overthrow it? He even looks like Fidel Castro. You're not old enough to remember all this stuff in the 60s. Man, when I look at him talking, I remember the way Fidel Castro looked. And you want your country to end up like that? Go look at what Cuba looks like today, my friends. They're stuck in the 1950s. All the cars they drive are ones they keep fixing up from the 1950s. They're stuck in the 1950s.
Yeah, well, I think I look at that and I say the election, should Mamdani win, is a result of bad Republican leadership. But also, I mean, who's even on the ticket? They don't even have anybody good on the ticket. I mean, Curtis Sliwa is a really nice guy and a great American, but he's not, he can't win a mayor's race. It's already been proven. Cuomo? I mean, Cuomo? This guy's known as the grandma killer. What do you mean Cuomo? Eric Adams is the only shot you got, but Cuomo's still in there and Sliwa's like, no, everybody get, so it's just, they're going to hand it to him. They're going to hand it to him, and it's going to be a political referendum, and the Republicans are going to ignore it and pretend like they're shocked and they don't understand. And then if they just carry that energy into the midterms, it's going to be a mess. I think, Tim, thank you for the call. I guess Nolan wants to talk about this too, or talk about something in New York. Nolan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I remember you guys used to play the clip a lot. And that's, I think it's probably the first time I heard it too, but the My Dinner with Andre clip about New York, it's just like so perfect now. It's kind of crazy how how much it honestly reflects today. But,
all right. That it?
No, that I thought I lost you there for a
what
second.
What is the name of the movie?
My Dinner with Andre, or maybe My Lunch with Andre. And there's
I don't
a
know.
Clip
I don't think
they,
I've seen that one.
Oh, it's dude, it's perfect. You guys should try to play it before you're out today. It's only like a minute and a half long. I think you just type in My Dinner with Andre, New York scene, and he talks about how New Yorkers are building this prison around him. It's a great clip. You should play it. And another thing, I listened to your Rumble stream the other night, and I heard you talking about how you kind of want to get back into doing more streams on there and stuff, and but how you are also burnt out on politics and all of that. And I was thinking, well, if you're burnt out on politics, why don't you kind of take your mind off of that and do a stream on Rumble every, you know, once a week or something? Do you still follow sports?
No, not really. I mean, it's in my peripheral.
Well, yeah, I think that would be kind of cool to do something like a sports stream maybe once a night.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Well, look, let me respond to that. Oh, okay. I've seen this scene before. We've played this scene before. I know what you're talking about now. I've not seen the movie, but we've definitely played the scene. Let me just briefly respond to that. Well, I don't even know if it's worth it. I don't even know if it's worth it, really. It's like you may have seen. It's all in the news this week about them coming in to shut down InfoWars. And so I like roller coasters, but, you know, you stay on a roller coaster for 50 straight rides, you know, you're like, okay, need to get off for a second here, get my legs back. But it's like, yeah, I mean, they could come in here right now and shut this place down. So it's like, how do I take time off with that at stake? But I'll tell you what, having said that, I am taking a long weekend. And, you know, the other day, and I guess it's good TV because, it definitely gets viral views. But like the other day when Alex came in here and said I was too negative, I disagree. I think I'm just addressing the things as I see them. But, you know, maybe there's an element of truth to it where it's just like, okay, well, maybe I do just need to step away. It's like, maybe you do. Maybe I am a little too negative because I just stare into the abyss and the darkness with foresight, with future sight. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a negative or positive thing. I think it's I call it as I see it thing, but it's like, yeah, maybe I do need to just step away and not look at it for a minute. So I do intend to take a long weekend. So tomorrow Harrison will be hosting this show and we're going to have a guest host Monday as well. And who knows, if we're still on air, you know, next week, maybe I decide to extend it a little bit, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want it to look like, okay, they're shutting it down and then I'm not here. Like I'm avoiding it or abandoning ship, you know. Plus I want to be here. I mean, this is a lifeblood for me. The crew, the audience. So, but yeah, I'll leave it at that for now. But speaking of sports, you got every team now has gay cheerleaders, by the way, for the NFL. It's just wacky stuff going on. John Gruden wins Nevada Supreme Court arbitration appeal against NFL and Roger Goodell. So Gruden, who basically got blackballed from the league because of a racist email, is winning. So that's interesting. And by the way, the NFL has another issue too. A coach is crying racism, says the NFL is racist when it comes to hiring. I'm sitting here like, are you kidding me? I don't know. Is there an enterprise? Is there a business that's made more black Americans millionaires than the NFL? I'm serious. Is there? But it's racist, says Brian Flores. And he still has a job. He's still a coach, by the way. Now he's suing the NFL for racism. So they got some deals there. They're about to kick off a new season with a bunch of gay cheerleaders now. So if you have a front row NFL ticket, you're going to have a gay man, waving pom-poms and shaking his ass in your face. Football. Why do they do this to us? You know, it's like, why do you have to do this to us? Why? you know, Elon Musk earlier today was pointing out that China has built a new high-speed train, can travel 1,000 kilometers an hour. That means nothing to an American, but anyway. Ultra-fast vacuum tube magnetic levitation system. Have I not been talking about maglev technology for how long? It's just, it's so crazy, man. So Musk is like, we need to do this in America. Absolutely. And you know what, Elon? Maybe if they would have done the Doge cuts that you presented, maybe we could actually do it. If we did $1 trillion in Doge cuts, we could build 10 maglev high-speed rails. We could build one across the entire country just for fun with that money. But we don't get that, do we? We get waste, fraud, and abuse instead. I mean, the dirty commies in China, folks, this is embarrassing. The dirty commies in China do better infrastructure than we do. We should be embarrassed. We should be ashamed. We should be looking in the mirror and kicking ourselves saying, why is it that dirty commies do infrastructure better than us? But we all know why, because our money goes to foreign and special interests. So we don't get high-speed rails. China does. The commies do. Not us. Not the free people. The commies. It's infuriating. But we get a robot fight club, apparently. San Francisco has a robot fight club. Okay. Will they try to make that illegal? I don't know. Maybe. Just maybe they end up making it illegal. All right, let's go with a little comedy as we close out the show here. Sorry to the callers we didn't get to. Gerrymandering. Somebody decided to gerrymander their apartment, and it went like this. Clip 13.
Ridiculous!
You said I need to start taking care of myself.
You are absurd.
I'm marking what is mine.
You're gerrymandering the apartment. It doesn't even make sense.
These are my highly frequented areas. This is my chair. God. This chair was promised to my family 30 years ago.
You bought it off Facebook Marketplace last month.
This is ridiculous. Come on, you gerrymandered the TV.
Just the Netflix icon. That's my ex-girlfriend's account. I still have a login.
I don't need to do the chair.
You've eaten my food before.
This is leading into my room.
That's an annex. Or don't look at it. Come on.
Are you kidding me?
What?
The lotion? What is that?
Okay, that's where I sit.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Hey, babe, Chris is marking his territory in the apartment.
Oh, that's so weird.
Hey, what the hell is that?
Son of a bitch! That's my girlfriend!
I'm looking to redistrict it!
Gerrymandering with a hint of comedy. All right, that does it for today's show. Well, I will say this. If anything goes down here, I'll be back. But I do plan on taking a long weekend. Don't miss me too much, all right? I'll still be on X. Don't miss me too much. We'll be back. But yeah, we'll take a little time off, hit the reset button, refresh the batteries, get some good time with nature maybe, and then we'll see you next week.
I'm coming to defeat you, evil scum. I'll defeat you, globalists.
I've been waiting a long time for this, Alex.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning. 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 Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.